Rock, Paper, Scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Hello, hello. It's 7 o'clock coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of a lovely Phoenix, Arizona. Hang on. We got, if you remember last week, we had some technical issues. We have new headphones. I have to turn mine up. Is anybody else? Let me know how you are with headphones, because I've got to adjust them.
Mine's good.
Oh, that's much better for me. Much, much better. Hi, everybody. We're here with Katie June, and there's Al and Marnie, and the whole gang's all here, and you are, too. It's show number 171 on this lovely evening here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's only 104 degrees. It's almost chilly. It's really...
It's brisk.
It's brisk.
Well, I have 100... My thing says 107 currently.
Oh, then I don't know where the fuck mine's...
Have you broken any records today?
Oh, I don't think we've broken any records
at
all.
Not yet, huh?
No, no.
But I did see on the news, monsoon season... And that makes me feel
okay.
Super
and
happy.
For the listeners that are like outside of the U.S., it's 42 degrees.
Oh, for the Celsius centigrade people, which would be
for
like
the whole rest of
like,
the world,
like Richard, who's currently listening in Quebec, and Tomo, and I'm gonna assume that in Cairo that they do the centigrade.
We're the only people.
We are the holdouts.
Yep, and it was that anti-Carter push.
Oh, God, we have him to thank for peanut butter. And,
we tried. No. So mine do no need to go up a tiny bit.
Thanks, Al, for telling me.
Well, your voice was loud enough. Mine wasn't.
Oh, let's try that. Is that much better? Oh,
that's
my
much better.
Golly, that's fantastic.
That's so good. I want to rub myself.
So much going on. We are sitting in for 3 hours of fun and entertainment right here on the Q-Talk America Radio Network. And really, it's not a network. It's just us in a house with a table and... Q-Talk just sounds fun to say, so it all works out.
So it is. Q-Talk America.
It's us.
Radio
we're on Network. We can be a network again.
We are. We're good.
Yeah, no,
we
I like
We just
got to
get people that aren't... Well, okay.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Oh, God, I appreciate it.
Very nicely done. Well, Katie, though you're normally... when you tune in at this time of our show, the very beginning, Katie's usually consuming some meal, and she's already done it.
Lately.
She got here early enough to consume that salad...
Yep.
That ain't a meal.
In record time.
It was delicious.
Well, now for Katie, it might be our new kick. Like maybe that's the meal for the week.
No, I did. I was debating between flank steak and mashed potatoes and the whole shebang, but I went salad. Instead.
You went salad.
Yeah, gotcha. I feel good about it. Now, I mean, I like didn't feel good about making the decision, and I didn't feel good about actually eating the salad versus the steak.
But you're going to chase it with that Red's Ale.
If I can find a bottle opener, I will. And peanuts.
We have bottle openers. It's right in this thingy.
It's not.
Well, where the fuck did it go?
Nice job.
I don't know why.
I stole it.
I don't know why things ever leave the studio.
Because
we have one in the kitchen, too. We have implements to open bottles and wine everywhere in in the house.
This
and I don't. This comes from somebody
who
doesn't drink wine or beer, but we have all these implements.
You have to.
Because
well, you're thoughtful.
Friends, I am. I like it. Full service. Full service right here in the old home away from home.
That's a good point.
Very nicely done. Well, we've all managed to get here again for two. Oh, God, and you almost dropped.
Oh, thank you.
You almost dropped your opener. Oh, I didn't think I was going to make it on time because I had to go to the airport get my aunt who flew in from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Welcome. Who is looking lovely.
She's here, yeah.
She's a beautiful woman.
I don't think you've seen her in 5 years, Katie, because would have been my birthday.
You know, and even at your birthday, I was... kind of, you know, I was working for Sway at the time, and so I was like
busy.
Kind of working it. So I was back doing backstage stuff.
Actually,
and
if we're clear about it, you were just trying to keep that stalker away from
Clayton.
We have a story in regards to Dan.
No.
Here comes. Yes, yes.
Hey, Dan.
I think he's listening. I'm not sure. He said he was going to be.
Hi, Dan.
Though I think that the story that I've got with him is going to land in the 8 to 8:30 hour portion of the program, but we'll see how much Gavin talks. Before we get there, who knows? Who the
but
hell
your
knows?
Aunt is aunt and mother both looking beautiful.
That's my
tonight.
Mom's younger
so it was
sister.
Nice to see them both.
She comes in once a week or once a year, excuse me. She comes in for about a week to 10 days and hangs out, gets out of the humidity of where and she lives in a beautiful area. It's actually about an hour east of Tulsa on an area called Grand Lake. and it's on the lake. And it's, I mean, literally, you go, you look out our front door and down a hill, and boom, it's a beautiful lake, all very lush and green. It reminds me of when, Marnie, when you go back, when you go back east and you are on that whole lake area, just the same thing.
Oh,
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere you look up, it's normal.
Except
just
it's,
see the water.
Except it's humid and it's in that small town, Oklahoma, and I don't want to go.
Now, does your mom,
and again, you look like you have Tourette's when you're there, and no offense to anyone with Tourette's.
Thanks for clarifying that.
But where you're back there and you have the mosquitoes, and so you're sitting outside and you're like, son of a bitch, god damn it, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then you look up and you're like, I'm sorry, excuse me.
It's a bug on you.
Go ahead, Pastor. I mean,
I'm sorry, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Sir or ma'am.
Sir or ma'am.
However you self identify.
Can I have some wine, please, Your Honor? Or whatever.
Your Honor.
Whatever.
Your Majesty.
I don't go to those.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
I'm not sure what to call you. I'll just go with Your Majesty.
Your Majesty will work fine. Yeah.
So now, does your mom reciprocate that and go out there for
Fuck
a week
no.
to 10?
No. Okay. Okay. No. Again, mosquitoes, humidity.
So it not, doesn't do
no,
that.
No, mom, no.
Because I guess the winter, it's cold as all get out.
Yeah, it's snow and ice and fuck that. But no, the last time, it's been, mom went home 2 years ago in October, but that was because of a medical emergency with another relative.
Sure.
But no, we don't go home.
No,
but
no.
May and just about anywhere. May and September are usually safe bets to travel. Like it's usually mild.
September is still I guess because that's actual fall.
For back there, it starts fall.
Yeah, and then you'll get like a little touch of, I don't know if you can still call it Indian summer if you have to call it Piestewa summer. I don't know. I don't know what all the rules are.
It's not squaw summer.
I don't think you call it Redskin summer.
No,
from it's what I'm understanding.
Definitely not. And
we're looking for a new name though.
A weird note on that. Palmer was watching Peter Pan this week, and the Indian scene, and
pretty
they're like.
Racist.
Really racist. And I was singing the song like, what made the red man red? Ho yellow one. Hello wala ganga. Hello wala ganga. And I was like,
I
we were dancing. It was, it's Peter Pan. Everybody.
Yep.
It's Disney people.
It's Disney.
But I was really watching and going, I mean, this would not fly today.
Oh,
like,
no.
This would definitely
and
not
And if you
be
haven't
okay.
seen it in a while, and I just recently watched it. Because I could never remember if Peter Pan the musical and Peter Pan the Disney movie have anything in common, because I really like Peter Pan the musical. It's got some fun songs in it. So I put it on, and I'm like, nope, they are not related. And then I got to that part, and I'm like, ouch.
Oh, yeah, definitely
like,
not.
This one would not fly. No.
Was that the 40s that came out? Peter Pan the original would have been the 40s, 50s?
I want to say 50s. Up. Yeah, that's worth Googling.
Because I have no clue at all. But yeah, you let me know how that turns out for you.
Response.
I know, right?
Yeah, but
it was a fun little movie to kind of
it really is 53 again. It looks like
53 for Peter Pan from Disney. Wow, so much has changed since then.
Sure has.
Yeah,
Peter Pan.
So anyway, yeah.
Hello, Peter.
But anyway, no, she doesn't go back to visit. My aunt just comes here once a year. Now, what we may be doing, and I probably mentioned this to you before. Our home where my grandparents lived, where I lived before I moved here to Phoenix. The highway, they're widening the highway, and it is right at the fucking front door of our house now. Like they took all the right away, and it's in the front yard.
I thought they were bulldozing.
Oh wait, this is
Our decision, our thought was we'd rather see. This is my mom and I saying this. We'd rather see my cousin sell it and then level the house before we saw anybody else live in it. Just because we were the only family that lived in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'd rather see that. But if that comes, mom and I have already discussed, if it gets to the point where that's going to happen or something, we will fly home because that's a moment to be there at the really end of a house that not only, I mean, my mom and her sister, like they hand built that house with their father.
Such a beautiful house.
Yeah. Such a great place. So that, other than that, I
still
really
want to live in that back room.
Which?
The back room right off the kitchen.
Oh,
in the bedroom. Where your grandma's bedroom was.
Oh, yeah. That's. My cousin turned that into his master's.
Yeah. I just want to live in that room.
Okay.
The wood and all of that is so
all
cool.
The natural wood. My grandfather redid the house tonight. Well, actually, my cousin redid it since he's been gone, but it's great. And the funny.
So does nobody live there now?
No, my cousin. Susie's son bought the house from the daughters when my grandparents passed on. He's still there.
Oh, okay.
But again, it's just they've moved that highway. I mean, it was noisy and busy before, and now it's right at your doorstep. So literally, where the driveway when you open the garage door, you can't even fit a car length out before you're at the shoulder. It's close.
Wow. And so it's not like a freeway here where there's like the retaining walls.
No. This would be more like
two lanes.
I guess it'd be more like you'd be like the Grand Avenue. Like in the Midwest, freeways or highways are a little bit different. But it'd be more like a Grand Avenue.
Like two lanes each way kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like the homes that are like lining Shea. Kind of like that, like Shea Roads, like a busy-ish, thoroughfare.
Some of those houses on Camelback too. That you're like, wow,
they're right on.
Exactly. Okay, so it's similar, like that. But it's a U.S. Highway 71 that goes through Missouri, and it's right there. But the population has grown so much in the past 15, 20 years. I mean, actually, Mom says that when she was little, she remembers being little, like in even little teenage years, and some people from the highway department coming and talking to her parents about, this is coming. We don't have a date yet. Well, they're both gone and burned. And gone and burned.
Gone and burned up.
They're still in boxes in that house still. But yeah, it's finally come to see because my cousin sent us some pictures, and it's heartbreaking to see that all the area, that front yard, it's really weird to see that your house is gone.
Yeah.
But now, I don't think any of you have to experience it because I don't know. Where your grandparents' house, I've seen pictures of that where, because you were there, and I did a Google Maps for your house, Alfie, back home. So, and that's just in a regular
residence. How'd you know the address?
You gave it. How long have I known you?
I'm going to Google Map I'll try to Google Map the house I grew up in. It was so fun. It was fun. But my grandparents' house, we kind of had that connection. And it was really hard for my dad and his brothers to determine what to do after my grandparents passed away. And it was like one of those things where my grandpa shouldn't have been living on his own necessarily, but
That list, that's all live audio on the listeners.
Hey,
look at that.
And now there's something wrong with the video or something?
To my knowledge. I mean, we're streaming and it all... I don't. Going out of here, it doesn't look bad. Reboot or recheck. I don't know what the hell what's going on. By the way, say hi to Jordan, the country, whoever's in Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Bunch of you from the United States are all listening. Thank you so much for that. And then there's an unknown, which I think is Richard, because nothing comes up that says Canada or Quebec. It's unknown, and it kind of coincides with him being here. So,
oh yeah, because it used to say Canada when it was Lola was in the room, right? Lola from Toronto.
I think you may be right about that. I think so.
I do not remember.
Yeah, and I
we have a stream. We have a flash. I don't know what the hell that means. We have a flash. We're still recording. I don't know what that means.
I am not flashing.
No, you're not.
I am not flashing.
But you can.
I will check if it's a video problem. I will check.
And I spend like every.
I'm not.
I spend every single
day.
You're
not connected to the internet.
Oh, I am.
Okay, I'm not either. Yeah.
Nope. Something happened.
Got it. Yeah. Well, then check again, or I'll have to reboot. So, we're not. We aren't. I see it. I see. So I will do a reboot. Continue chatting.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying that it's hard to get rid of like the family home, right?
Uh-huh.
That it was hard for my dad and his brothers to determine to sell it. And they did. And it actually worked out great. My grandparents had that house outfitted for my grandmother had had a couple strokes and was in a wheelchair. And they had this two-story, beautiful old two-story home in the cathedral neighborhood of Joliet outfitted for a wheelchair. And they ended up selling it to a family with a son in a wheelchair.
Oh,
so
nice.
It like worked out really well, you know, for them. So that was kind of like a thumbs up moment. Like, you know, you're selling it to a great family and someone who really move in ready, but it still is just a sad thing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have done anything to buy my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
There's no need for it. I mean, it's like a five level. It would have been ridiculous.
My sister's godfather had a beautiful house in Niagara Falls, right by the water, on the escarpment, and it was gorgeous. And it had like five or six apartments on the upper floor, and it had like a glassed entryway that looked out over the Niagara State Park, and
beautiful.
It was just beautiful. And they tore it down to make a parking lot, and that's the only house like that was part of our family that I'm like, that one's worth keeping.
Yeah.
But
it's a bummer when the city gets a hold of your land.
I grew up in a small, pretty small house, very small house, but with a basement. And my sister's like, oh, I don't know if I should sell the motherfucker. Get off that street. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I'll help you. Well, there's not. She has in her defense.
She has nothing.
We all tell her about packing stuff up, and she has been doing it for like a long, long time. So she's way ahead of that curve. But yeah, I'm like, get rid of everything. And she's like, look around. There's nothing left to get rid of. And I'm like, oh, you do kind of live in an empty house.
Doing great.
Yeah. My bad.
Well, Katie, darling, I know that you and I on Saturday night attended the Pride Gala here in town together. That was a good time.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you reached out to me. He says, hey, did we discuss riding together? And I said, I don't know. She drinks. I don't. I don't know. But we ended up going together, so thank you again for that. It was a fun night. It was nice.
It was a little warm at the beginning in that hallway.
Oh,
but,
my God.
I got the pleasure of sitting next to Katie Hobbs and Layla
Alston.
Layla Alston. And then Bram Resnick, who was emceeing it for us. They were all at that one wonderful table. And David Gallardo. Right? No, that's not right. It's
Gallego?
No, and I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
I'm totally blanking on it. He was our speaker.
Yeah, Gallardo.
Is it Dave?
It's not David. And I want to say it's Steve, but it's definitely not Steve. It's not Steve.
Is it Mark or Rick? Does he have track lighting and throw pillows?
Why is this so hard?
Ruben.
No, that's Ruben Gallego. It's Steve Gallardo.
Steve
Gallardo. Anyway. Steve sounds not right.
Yeah, well.
It's like the name of the game. Anyway, he gave a nice speech, and it was a lovely event. So kudos to Pride. It was a really nice dinner. They had a live auction. And it was a shame because there's one woman in town that does a bunch of the live auctions, and she's just phenomenal. She's just so.
She will make you bid on shit you don't ever need in your life.
Or you can't afford. But you're like raising your hand because all you want to do is like give her things. She's amazing.
Yes, she is.
And a lot of groups use her, and Pride did not, which is okay because I've also seen other groups not use her and be successful. But boy, oh boy, this one.
It was a little brutal.
Not so successful. No. Yeah, it was rough. You know, like when someone is, it was like a live auction, and instead of anyone, you know, you could be at a live auction that's very engaging, and you're really watching the host, and you're excited about what they're talking about, and you want to be even if you don't have money. Yeah. This one was like everyone is looking down, people were leaving to go to the bathroom, people from around the room were texting me. I was texting them. We were like, "Oh God, help, help!"
The other one that we're used to. She has researched everything so well that when she is up there talking about the organization that they're raising money for, she will tell a story and pull your heartstrings.
Oh yeah,
and then you'll bid, and then she'll tell her story and pull this person. And, like, she draws you in. Like, again, you'll bid on shit that you'll hawk your house to bid on shit.
Well, and you're learning about the organization.
So you have to have an auction for you.
I know.
Can you host the auction to get my money back?
Yeah. But it was kind of the one thing Clayton and I were talking about on the way home. We were just like, it was like one of the, you know, you're at a moment where you're at an event or something or anywhere, and you just kind of, you just have to look away a little
that
bit.
That one might not have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was it. But other than that, and they still raised money. So it was certainly not a bad.
No, right.
They still raised money in the silent auction and people were bidding. But it was just a really nice event. So kudos to Phoenix Pride.
It was. And the dinner was wonderful,
I
thought.
It was very good.
Dinner was fantastic.
Rubber chicken dinner, they like took it, Pat. They like jumped to the bar because this was a steak.
Yeah, steak. Potatoes.
Not
institutional chicken.
It was. And I was surprised. It was a steak that I could cut with a butter knife.
Oh my God, it was a filet. Like, I was a really, astounded. Really good filet mignon.
Like, this isn't going to end well. This isn't going to go well at all. And it went right through.
It was tasty.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Very
anyhow,
good.
Anyhow, so
that was good. And you know what? One of the other things I liked, and I got to talk to Barbara Seville about this, because you guys will remember that Barbara ran for, I was part of, like, the rehearsals were happening here at the house. She ran for and she won. She's Miss Phoenix Gay Pride. Mm-hmm. For right now. And right off the bat, she and the other one who won, which was Eddie C. Broadway, they decided they were going to raise money. That was their thing, to raise money for the scholarship fund. And Barbara said it was the first time in all the years that she's been doing fundraising, because she stood on stage and she physically handed out the checks for the money that she raised to the direct people for the scholarships. Okay. It's different, no less good to support them. But, like, you know, when you give to Aunt Rita's or you give to Joshua Tree, you're giving to a group, and that helps many individual people, which is also good. But she's literally handing the check to the person who got the scholarship.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a lovely thing.
And it was $30,000 they gave away this year for scholarships for like six or seven people.
Yeah.
That was really incredible.
Cool. In these days of crippling student loans, that is always nice.
But the other really cool thing that Barbara did and has made a part of her platform, which is exciting, is she said all of these students up here that are getting this money are young people, which is great. Go mm-hmm. young people and whatever, we're supporting them. But she said, I'd really like to see, and what I'm going to do during this next year is encourage and promote adults going back for to finish a degree you never got, to go to school for the very first time. Yeah. So it's kind of
life,
a cool
life
spin.
Got in the way and you had to postpone your own.
She's just a queen
thing.
That's really getting on board with Phoenix Pride and what their mission is and really making it a part
and
of
since,
her life.
Five of my closest friends have all just gone through this, and like Tim is just starting now for his master's. Like, this is a lot of people, like 40 more than ish.
A lot. Going back to school.
40 more than ish. Going back to school. And, you know, that's a rough time to take on student loans. Yeah. And it's.
And
thank you.
They are grim.
And forgive.
Like, Elizabeth Warren is not fucking around.
No.
Those are some. That's grim.
That's bad news.
Forgive me on your age when you chose to go to nursing school.
Mid-30s somewhere. 30, I don't remember.
And when you chose to do that, and I realized that, I mean, that was your 30, decision.
36. I was 36.
Were you looked at, and I don't want to say, you know.
As old? Yes.
No, that's not what I was saying. when you walk into a profession at that already established age, do people look at you like, really, you're coming a little late to the dance?
No, well, luckily I don't look that old. That helps a lot, that people didn't think I was as old as I was.
Okay.
And in a female profession, guys get a little bit more give than women do.
Oh, okay.
Like,
sure.
Like,
well, and a gay guy, too. So.
It's weird how men are perceived in that profession. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, it's just odd. Like, these people, like, people come up and ask me a question, like, on my second day of orientation.
Oh, like, you're more knowledgeable.
Yeah, so you don't get that, you don't get that pushback.
Yeah.
But when I was first starting, they would ask me a question with somebody with like 30 years experience sitting next to me. And I'm like, you're the dumbest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, what would make you come to me?
Just being a man.
You like, just look like you know.
It's crazy.
Right? Yeah. No, yeah. And that was always a very, very odd
thing. But I also think that people now at a later age are going back more and more to school, to new professions, to like changing careers. You hear about that a lot on the news. And I hear, you know, they've done a number of stories on NPR about changing careers later in life. So I think now it's probably... It is just a little more normal.
And then, like, I started right off in the ICU. I went to the ICU right away. Like, even still in school, I worked in the ICU. So there's – most people do other things and then transfer later in their careers to the ICUs. There's not a lot – so people just assumed I must have come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That no one was like, you're a new grad, sweetheart? Like,
yeah.
A little long in the tooth for that, aren't you? Like, so, I mean, it was odd. But there's just – yeah, no need to collaborate. We already knew what you were wearing.
Yeah.
But I mean, the money, like Harrison, Doug, Renee, me, Tim, like all of us back to school, all finishing up right around 40 or after 40. And it's not easy. And then you're taking, you know, some of it, I don't know about Doug, but huge amounts of debt. Like huge.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't recall if I've heard Doug say anything about that or not.
I have. I
mean, I'm going to assume so.
$59,000?
Oh my goodness.
Now, what was it?
And that's a small amount.
And I'm not bright. So there's
no,
that.
That's a shock.
And that's why I have to pay $59,000.
That's a low amount. Honestly,
you're telling me $50,000.
$60,000
is a low amount in student loans.
What?
Yeah, that really is.
You know,
and it's insane.
And that's four years.
I only borrowed money for
2 year. Yeah, that was a 2 year degree.
I have a 4 year degree, but I didn't take loans until the second year.
Yeah, I only borrowed
$60,000 for a 2 year degree.
And I've been paying on it.
Oh God, I can't talk about it.
Well, but no,
I got done in 99.
I only borrowed money for the last. I mean, I did a 4 year degree in 3 years and a month, but I only borrowed for the last part of it, and I think I finish up somewhere around 58,000-59,000 because you need money to live,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you have to take out loans for life. Because I had to live.
Now for Martin, is that the basic principle, or is that with interest and everything stacked on it?
Everything? Yeah.
So what was the core amount? Do you remember?
I don't know.
So it's like if you buy a car,
and honestly, you can't compare it to a car because with the interest they charge you and how long they stretch it over, it's you could buy 5 cars for that money.
Okay,
like that you can't compare it to anything else because it's crippling. And second, it makes no logical sense. And they front load all the money, and then they penalize you for not paying when you're going to school.
So,
so the penalties stop from the day you cash the first check.
Yep.
So,
that's horrible.
So what is it that I've been seeing on the interwebs and Facebook? Is it bullshit or is it real? Something about Obama forgiving student loans. What
is
that?
That's what I'm in the process of, and I may be getting I may be doing it wrong because I hired a company to do the paperwork. Because of course you know how lazy I am,
right?
Like if somebody else will do it for a fee, I will not
pay that,
sit up.
Right.
Yeah, then I will.
I figure I'm already paying the student loans. So I'm
right.
just gonna
you'll skip yeah. you'll skip one coffee a day for 2 days.
For the rest of my natural life. But what they do is they'll do it. They do it based on like how much you made. And luckily, I work in a nonprofit in a an underserved area that gets you out of so much.
Oh,
shit.
That's great. Yeah.
So the not-for-profit underserved area helps a lot, and it helps with forgiveness. So they'll combine the two loans, and they'll I only have to pay for 10 years. Hopefully, only have to pay for 10 years a smaller amount, and then it'll just be forgiven. So you have to start working on that when you get your degree, get your job, get yourself set up or whatever. You have to start working towards getting your loans combined into one as fast as possible. And then you have to start looking at the new forgiveness programs, which is why we need we have to keep Republicans out of Congress because they don't believe in it. They just believe in the rape. And the government is given the money at 0.5% or something. They get it for really cheap, but then they loan it out like predatory lenders.
Mm. Right.
At 20 times the rate
sickening.
And the money was always meant for
education.
To keep education cheap. But what they did was the colleges raised their tuitions because they knew you could get money, and then the bank started charging more for the loans. So everybody
and they don't believe in education.
So you're taking it both ways. Right. And then again, if you get an education that believes in evolution, then you're just a godless fuck. And
right. Well,
now, Molly says the average is $30,000. I would think it was – I thought the average now was $100,000, but I could be wrong.
Well, I just asked my friend Brandy, and she's replying here. She took out a loan for her master's degree in social work, and I just –
Oh, that's a bad idea.
Yes. It's a really – total and $80,000.
As Marnie makes a face.
Well, and the problem $80,000. Is that
they'll never – social workers will never make never. Money
never,
back.
You'll never get it back. And the hard part was – that when I went back, and I went back a little later, I was 24, so I can't go with, well, I was 18, I didn't know. But they sold you on it. Like, they almost promoted it. You had the standard subsidized and unsubsidized loans. And to this fucking day, I can't tell you necessarily the difference of what that means. One of them is something, and then the other is something else. And
one is one thing, and one is the other.
Different, yeah. Anyway, they really promoted it. I said, no, I don't think that I need that, because I was going to school full-time and working full-time. So I had the money coming in. They're like, well, then you can take a break and you could relax and, you know, be able to just study. And I have to tell you, that did not happen. And all of a sudden I get both of them, and you have all this money. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then there are things that come up in life where then you have to getting a forbearance or whatever. You do the forbearance or the...
And they penalize you for the whole thing.
Oh,
it's just penalty.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. I mean, that's one of the things I'm watching.
Crazy.
And it's one of the, it's called Maxed Out. It's the documentary where I first heard of Elizabeth Warren, where she talks about college students with credit cards. And I think it's from 2005 or 2006. And she tells you 2 years before it happened that there's a crash coming and exactly where it's coming from and what's happening, what's going wrong. They explain the housing market bubble before we even hit the actual bubble.
Yeah.
It seriously came out when the bubble was 06 or early 07. This movie came out beforehand and just spelled it out. I saw it after the crash and I'm like, it was right there.
This
person's
a genius.
She already
she's
said
very
it.
Smart.
Like that's, and she's one of the main people interviewed for the documentary Maxed Out. So if you get a chance to see it, it's terrifying because it came out before the crash. And it just it tells you exactly what was wrong with
that's
the housing market.
Well, I will say
student loans and predatory lenders with credit cards and colleges, like these people that have even that stupid debt.
We have Kelly and I have already a fund, a college fund.
Oh, for good.
For Palmer,
good.
Which we started from the get go because
it's brilliant.
Just got hope that she will get scholarships, but even if she does, it's just so
well, it's
so
nice,
much
it's
money.
It's a cushion for her. I mean,
it's a cushion for
her. If she gets full scholarship, she's still got a living fund. I mean, she can. I mean, whether it needs to be a car or if it's just clothing or food for the time.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I needed money to live because I was going to do – my plan was to do a full year or actually 14 months without working. And Tim – oh, that's pissed me off. But It ended up I only went 5 months without working. Mm-hmm. But when I went back and talked to Tim and he was like complaining about school, I'm like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir, sweetheart. I used to sleep in my car.
Oh,
because I was working full time. He's like, but you didn't work the whole time. I'm like, I don't know where you live.
But yeah,
but I
worked
full time and went to school full time and summer school. Like, mm-hmm. I went to school. I did weekends. Like, I finished a 4-year degree in 3 years and a month. Sure. So I worked
from. It's tough.
I left VS West in May. I started at the hospital in September. Like, I went five months. Yeah. Oh, that's all he says. Well, you didn't work. If you say it one more time, you're
going
off a cliff.
If you're listening. Tim, if you're listening, Tim.
And it was like three times during the weekend he told me I didn't work.
Oh, short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Oh, that
and that's
funny.
One of those things where I'm like, I'm going to bite now.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
regret.
Shit's about to get real,
you
know, Tim.
When you look at the student loans and kids coming out now and getting them, when you were talking about your friend, even with the master's, there's no way I could go back and get my master's.
No. And if you make it, I couldn't either.
Without doing that. And then somebody said a long time ago that if you just keep going to school.
Yeah, you'll never
have to
pay them back.
You never have to pay them back. Well, but they're going to have to be paid like.
Somebody's going to have to pay.
Somebody's going to have to pay for it.
No, you just keep. You just keep what's deferring them till you're dead.
See, and I'm all about defer till you're dead.
Yeah,
I might get a T-shirt made.
It's
if I had enough time to take
it's
classes,
so scary. I remember somebody, like one of the professors, telling us early in the going back, like, now what I learned was don't take the student loans. I'm like, are you going to pay for my education?
Yeah.
I had to raise my hand. Like, okay, that's great advice. So where's the tooth fairy coming from?
I will yeah. say this because I've often thought about going back to school, but when I look at an $80,000, I thought about getting my master's and I really would love to at some point, but taking out a loan to do that makes me feel crazy. And when I listen to Dave Ramsey, who I like his principles, he's evangelical and I'm not totally sure how I feel about his like personal stance, but he's super money smart and he says, don't do it. Just don't go back to school and rely on, you know, especially at a certain point in your career, rely on the relationships you've made, the experience you already have, and grow from there, which I feel like I've been able to do successfully at this point.
And then ask yourself, what does this career make?
Right. Yes.
If you're taking out an $80,000 loan
to get a job at $26,000 or $30,000.
As a social worker, then ask yourself, what's the highest paid social worker make?
Not much.
Because you want a house.
Oh, now
what's the big lesbian? Like, what's the lesbian's name? Susie Orman. Orman is now saying she was wrong. Stop thinking about buying a house. Like, she's saying, just get an apartment. Like, don't do it. She's like, there's no
benefit.
There's no benefit to it. And if they keep, every time the Republicans talk, they're threatening to get rid of the tax credit for homeowners.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what if there's no tax credit,
what benefit?
Then why am I sinking money into my house every
month? At least we have a baby. We continue to get a tax credit for her.
Exactly. Yeah. Children are a good idea. Yeah, but Susie Orman's new thing is, I maybe might have oversold the house thing.
Okay.
Unreal. Unreal.
By the by, I just found out, and I'm terribly sorry about it. We did find out that our audio only was off for a second because of the earlier thing, but we've corrected that. We are back up. But the video's fine. I just was finding out from Dan, who my friend in Palm Springs, that he was listening to us talk about Jacqueline Bisset, which was not this show.
Oh, the Golden Globes, yeah.
But anyway, we're good.
Coming back up. That was an old one.
Yeah, that was an older one. It's in our rotation.
Well, it's only 7:30. He didn't miss much.
Aaron has in here that for the first time in history, what is this, the 30-year-olds without college degrees own more homes than college grads?
Oh.
Right, because they didn't spend all that money on college. So they can afford a down payment on a house. Like, I didn't finish my degree the first time through, and I made more money than all of my friends did with degrees for quite a while just because I was building up experience and pay. And it's funny, and Richard, that was my answer too, is that I went back to school just because I wanted to do something.
Right.
But after I talked to people, I made sure that I have a skill.
Right.
Like, what? Well, I didn't just get a degree.
And
like,
I
became a mechanic.
Right. And so I think that Richard, yes, absolutely has a point. Like, if I wanted to, or anyone wants to change career paths to something that you have to go back to school for, totally understandable. But, like, I've worked in fundraising and nonprofits, and I now have a great job in a nonprofit. And I've wanted to go back to school for nonprofit management, get my master's. But really, Like a master's in nonprofit management.
Yeah.
Like
the word nonprofit's right in there.
Right. I would love to say I have my master's, but I have to tell you, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right.
Right.
There is nothing they don't be able to do.
What would it make a difference for you personally if you had the whatever initials follow your, is it a PhD, whatever the hell follows?
MSW.
Okay. Yeah.
So what would that change monetarily a year for you in the job that you're in?
It would cost me money because I'd have to go buy a frame to put
the certificate in.
Yep. Yeah.
And aside from that, that's all. Yeah.
Really? There's no monetary boost for you?
I do not believe that if I went to the company that I work for, that would in any way, shape, or form. Because it has nothing necessarily to do with that. I could go maybe to the state, and when I say that, I like almost throw up a little bit. But I'd have to be there for another like 10 years. Then on top of that, to get bumped.
Yeah, mine doesn't even pay 50 cents more for a higher degree. Not a dime.
Really?
Yeah, no. I would think overall, like if I were lucky, maybe another 10,000 a year, and that I mean by the time I die, that it would get up to that point, and that would be shocking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, bullshit.
But you go to school, and that's what I just, when I went back to school, because I was so old that I'm like, I can't, like, I'm not going to go back to be a dancer. You know what I mean? First off, I can't dance. But second of all,
number one,
you can dance? Yeah. You got to make sure that you're going to earn some money.
Your mama can't dance.
Right. And your daddy can't rock and roll. But regardless of whatever he said, so I made sure, like, the best thing to go to school for is be an air conditioning repairman. Like, you have to have a skill that makes money at the end in these days, because. Right. The jobs are just, they're just not there. Like, unfortunately, those careers, that lifestyle is gone. Like, now you have to be able to do something that someone wants to pay you for.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, what do you do with a BA in English?
Oh my God. Is that from
Avenue Q? Yeah. Right.
We've all seen it.
I recall that.
So true. Oh, that's funny.
Well, all of a sudden we're talking about, well, God bless Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. She's a good woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys,
keep fighting the good fight, Elizabeth Warren.
There she goes. Al's going to get more wine. It is 7:36. It's the show on Q Talk America. Thank you. We're getting a few bugs worked out. We are back online on the audio stream. We're connected. People are watching us.
Tyler, you're brilliant.
Oh,
and
hey, Tyler.
We give you all the props in the world.
Tyler has 3 degrees.
All the props
Tyler,
in the world.
Tyler, defer, right? What were you saying? Defer.
Yeah, defer. Oh my God, defer until you die. Just keep going to school.
Tyler, I'm so curious about what degrees you have.
I'm wondering, well, he's a teacher, so I mean.
So like a master's in.
I have no idea.
I wonder if you have like
some states you need a master's.
But I'm wondering.
It could be a specialist.
Where he went to school, based on, I realize cost of living is probably also relative to how much it's going to cost you for school, but I realize it all kind of washes, it's all the same. Yes. If you go to if you live in LA and you go to school, it's going to cost you more to go to school and more to live. If he's going somewhere closer to where he lives now to school, maybe school was less, but the potential for earning is less.
The East Coast, the schools are ridiculous.
Although,
yeah.
I will say, right, so Tyler's a teacher, and I will say that my dad, and I have no idea, Taylor, what your degrees were in, but he was a teacher, went back and got his master's in administration, and made a lot more.
Right?
So, like, there are ways that you can utilize them. Sure. And it was very much beneficial to my father and to our family as a whole.
But we're talking about the benefits. Like, look at it. Make sure if you're going back to school, there's some benefit to it. Like,
yeah, because my friend Brandy. In nursing, if you go into anything administration, you're going to be better off.
Right.
I don't know happier, but you're going to be better off. So. Yeah, that'll
no, Tyler. I'm not saying college degrees are dumbed down and cheaper in deliverance. No. However, if I throw a banjo in the air and you catch it, can you play something? That's a question I must ask.
I had a question for Tyler in Tennessee. I gotta Google it. There was something happened in Tennessee this week that I was.
Dollywood had a new ride that opened.
No,
because they did. Nice. Not this weekend, but it's happened.
Richard, you're okay with that language.
What? Yeah. Yeah, Richard, if you've listened to us for the past few weeks, you know that there's nothing is off limits here. So feel free to say and do whatever you wish to do.
Especially bitch. We actually had a campaign to slow down on the bitch word because I always feel it's being used incorrectly.
And we prefer cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who doesn't, really?
I mean, for real.
Wait a minute, that sounded wrong.
Wait.
That's not right. Well, I didn't mean it that way.
We meant something different.
But. Yes, of course. Who doesn't love cunt?
Now that's going a little too far.
Of course.
All right. Well, go to headlines.
Oh, my God. It is 7:39. We're going to go into our headline segment. We have a lot to talk about tonight. Oh, my God. Here we go. Right here on Q-Talk America. Some headlines. As far as I know, all are real tonight. All of them. Every one of them. Oh, a Hitler quote used to promote education.
A man comes out at 50.
Another naked bike ride protest in Portland.
A woman arrested in Florida has the most Florida name possible.
Wife divorces husband over the movie Frozen.
31-year-old dude with a 91-year-old woman.
Woman's emergency call, not enough sprinkles.
How many of you know Adolphophile?
And Gypsy returns to the stage in Palm Springs. These and other topics coming up on Q-Talk America. Oh my gosh. Now I know I put it on our Facebook page, and if you haven't seen it, by all means, please check out our Facebook page because it's funny shit. Alabama-based Lifesavers Ministries, and has nothing to do with the candy, has admitted that it was probably a poor decision to select a quote from Adolf Hitler to use on billboards supporting children's education.
A large
sign depicted a diverse group of smiling kids, which, of course, Hitler would have not approved of anyway, and it uncomfortably declared, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future," attributing the quote to Hitler in text. Truth is that Hitler did indeed say the phrase in 1935 during a speech in order to encourage young people to join the then popular in Germany Hitler Youth Group. Below the Hitler quote was a Bible verse which said, quote, "Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Well, James, looks like Anderegg, who's the founder of the ministries, told the Columbus Ledger Inquirer that he was taking down the sign and, quote, "certainly never intended to cause confusion." He added Herbert Hoover would have been a far better choice for a quote, who said, quote, "Our children are our most valuable resource. We are a children's organization that had honorable intentions and nothing less." Now, my thought is, and if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see it, who the hell decides that it's okay to even print a billboard that has a quote from Hitler on it?
Well, because they probably don't know it was Hitler. Somebody had to tell them where it came from. They probably heard, they were reading Mein Kampf, and they said, oh, that sounds delightful.
But it's... But who wrote this?
Yeah, that's really good.
That's catchy.
The only thing I can think of is that dumbass who went on a killing spree in Vegas, who wound up being part of that Nazi organization, probably worked for a sign company.
Yeah.
And he just printed it. This is good.
A lot of times, like, people will quote, like, people always throw out Ayn Rand and, like, oh my God, they're big fans of Ayn Rand. And they don't realize she was an atheist. And
she's kind
of not saying what you think she's saying. Like, So sometimes people know a quote from somewhere, but they don't know in context what the rest of
it was,
or what they're doing, and they just it's always good to Google and find out.
Yes,
like, I like this quote, but I'm not sure of the source.
I never thought I'd ever say this, but I do have to agree with the quote from Hitler. I think if you what is it? The Whitney Houston song. The children are the future.
Right.
If you educate them and you raise them correctly,
and teach them to use Google when they're quoting something without a source.
But don't try to take over a race and then try to burn people in the process.
Mass
that just
murder, genocide.
Just read the rest of the sentence. Exactly.
The midnight train to Hockenberg is not the song we want to go with. He's leaving. Woo woo! No, not a good song.
Yeah, not a good one. Yeah, Gladys Knight's not going to enjoy that one.
No.
That's the first thing I thought when I saw that sign. I'm like, well, yeah. If it didn't take you 5 seconds to like Google the source and be like, oh fuck, we just quoted Hitler.
And it's
let's take it out. Let's not put that on the billboard.
Did you get the soundbite ready?
The what?
The soundbite ready that we were talking about for the show. Do you have it ready?
Well, no, I can't produce that from here. From
he has
now.
To do that's another.
No, I have to. No, I can't
produce production that. Over
Ooh,
there.
No, I have to
fuck.
Do.
Yeah,
oh fuck! Oh, however, wait a minute. I can play it though. That's the best. I'll have to get that for you. But no, but the fact that it even says on the sign, Hitler, Adolf
no,
Hitler.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say that on the sign. That's that part. That part's been added in for
oh,
fun.
So the picture. Okay. So that's really that's not.
No, they just had the quote up there.
Oh, I was with the assumption, because I didn't realize that they'd photoshopped that.
Hold on.
Because that just would make it even more terrifying.
I didn't realize they'd photoshopped. Hang on. we have to play this.
I lost my foot.
Watch this.
Oh, fuck.
That's going to become our new soundbite. Oh, fuck. No, but that sign, where the hell did I've got to go to the other thing.
But I'm pretty sure they don't.
I thought it was attributed to Adolf Hitler.
It is, but not on the sign. Like, the sign just says says it, if I'm not mistaken.
No, look right here, Al. Look right here. There's the picture. So Al's going to swing over here to my screen. Look at this. So where in the fuck is that goddamn picture? I just saw it. For the love of everything.
On the billboard? Right, are you looking on the billboard?
Yes. It shows it, right? On the god. Why is this loading? Why is this taking forever? It's right
because,
there.
Because we're on live radio.
It's there. That's why. It's on. And it says the other one is from the Bible.
I think that's been photoshopped.
It doesn't look like it. Well, but I don't know. Anyway, who knows? But anyway, why in the fuck would you use the lovely Adolf Hitler to reference anything other than bad things?
I'm almost sure that somebody added the Adolf Hitler to there to make it funny that
maybe they
that's
did.
Who they're quoting.
Maybe they did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that probably was there.
Gotcha. All right, we're back in business. Marnie Ryer.
That would be real.
The floor is yours.
Well, not only, I said that there was a 50-year-old that came out of the closet, right? And that's a big deal in and of itself, people coming out later on in life.
And bless them for doing
Absolutely.
So. And my God, everybody
Absolutely.
Should.
Because, I mean, imagine being in the closet that long and being so
I cannot,
scared.
I cannot.
That's long.
Such a small room.
So, right. Well, it depends on how you decorate.
a lot of time to decorate when
it's
you're in the closet.
It's all about vertical space. Yeah, vertical true. Space.
Well, this is even more strength and conviction. The person who came out was a D.C., Washington, D.C. high school principal. And he came out during the school's Pride Day assembly.
I heard a little bit about this.
Pretty cool. His name is Pete Cahill, if I'm pronouncing that right. And the mayor of D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray and a council member, David Catania, were all at this Pride assembly. And
our good friends showed up, didn't they?
Who's that?
Oh, I thought this is the Westboro.
Oh, Westboro? No. Who's that?
I heard a different story, and
they were at something else. Yep.
They're always somewhere. Those fuckers.
Busy little bees.
Mm-hmm. This David Catania, again, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, openly gay council member, they went and they were shaking hands, and they were talking about everything for Pride Assembly. And 5 decades, this gentleman had... stayed in the closet, and at the Pride Assembly, he said, "A few weeks ago, I turned 50. This was a watershed time for me, and you have influenced what I would like to announce today. I have hidden the shadows for the last 50 years. Your leadership has given me the courage," speaking to this Catania and the children as well, "your leadership has given me the courage and inspiration to say what I need and must say today. I've hidden the shadows, but I'm liberated today to be me and let myself be me without fear, retaliation, or consequence. I feel safe and want all of my students and staff to be and feel safe. Mayor Gray, I want to say publicly for the first time, because of your leadership, care, and support, that I am a proud gay man who just happens to be the principal of Wilson High School." And
it's a fantastic story.
It is. And I just love the fact that it was, "and I happen to be," because that's what such a big deal is made out of, you know, like what they do. And it's like, who cares? Like,
right.
This is just a part of who I am, but this is who I am. You know, being gay is who I am, and that's my profession.
Right.
Right.
I have a friend, and I won't use names because I don't know exactly sure where he is within regards to it, but there is here in the Valley, I have a friend who oddly is in the parade every year. Is a Katie. We comment about it because he's one of the motorcycle riders.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Who also. Is it gay? And I believe an openly gay person, but I don't know, so I'm not going to put words in his mouth. But It's nice to, as I see him and it's out, and I realize that he's just living his life and doing his thing, and he has a home, like just every other fucking normal person in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's debating, do I sell the motorcycle because I don't ride it enough, and I need this and do that, and sure. He constantly is talking about all the fun things that he does with the students and the kids in the school. In fact, one of the things he did, it was on his Facebook page, that he put up a challenge for the kids to read so many books within a semester, and they all did. And he went to a dunk tank and let the kids dunk in.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
That's good.
Yeah, but I mean, he's all around. But I think that's great. I mean, he's much much younger than that. And again, I think he has been out for many many years. But even at 50, but anytime you're comfortable to come out, I think
absolutely.
That's fantastic.
And you feel safe.
And that's such a good story, because I saw the headline and I did not read the story, and I was afraid that what accompanied the headline was, and now he's fired and he's kicked out of the school and parents hate him.
Because that was the thing in Oregon, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. The principal who came out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a big deal a while back. And Richard has on here that that's going to rouse some shit up. And apparently, no. And that is what is just
the best part.
That's the best part. And
we got to pick your news day.
Yeah.
Do it the day that, you know, Obama's colluding with the Taliban, and then you're good.
Right? And I would agree with the statement. The Congress or the councilman said, I think this is the most important lesson these students will learn all year.
That's
and
great.
I agree. And the kids cheered and they clapped for him. And
well, it was a pride rally, so they were kind of in the mood.
No, they were. But it's
like,
again,
oh, wait. Now, pride rally, like pride for the school or pride, like gay pride rally? Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, he had the choir lined up.
Yeah.
But again,
literally.
You can have a lot of people that'll go and, well, I don't know anybody that's gay, so I'll support those people.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, now your principal's in front
of you. He's gay, and you like him, and he's great.
Right. And
whatever.
It's like, oh, remember he touched me that one time.
Yeah.
Oh,
now what'll probably,
he touched me.
Yeah. Touch me in the morning.
We're going to take that phrase just everywhere.
Touch
me. That's what I was thinking. I want to be gay.
Show me on the doll where you want to touch me, and I'll say yes or no.
Higher, warmer, yeah. colder.
Do it on the doll first.
I don't think that's how that game works. I don't think that's how that works.
Do it on the doll first.
That's not how that works.
And we'll see if I agree to it.
Yep, anatomically correct.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, over in our...
Only if you're going to do that fast.
Now go faster and talk dirty.
Yeah. At that speed, it's just annoying. I hope you're going to speed it up when you get to, like, out of simulation mode.
And spit on me.
Yeah.
Thousands of cyclists... no pun intended, we're shifting gears. Thousands of cyclists, many of them stark naked, poured into the streets of Portland, Oregon on this past Saturday night for the 11th annual World Naked Bike Ride, a protest that promotes bike riding as an alternative to driving cars.
Yuck.
Nude cyclists, well, there was a lot when they were trying to get off the seats.
Yes.
Nude cyclists with lights.
Sounds like the noise that Saxby Chambliss makes
when he gets
out of a chair. Right.
Or Bill Cosby makes. Saxby Chambliss.
Nude cyclists with lights flashing and bells ringing barreled down avenues lined with cheering spectators while a naked and apparently pregnant woman rode in a bike trailer. Made me think of you.
Oh,
yeah. Sure.
Thank goodness for all of you, I did have my clothes on.
But you weren't pregnant when you rode
my bike
trailer.
I was highly intoxicated.
I know that. The video proves it. For those of you listeners who are just joining us, guys, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, Katie June rode home in a bike trailer from a former studio where we were loaded, and we took her home. Anyway,
and you had a cooler.
Right, before we now have the luxury.
And she sat on the trailer, too, is the best part. The third... Or like put the trailer
on the cooler.
I have the video of it.
Yeah, we do.
Oh yeah,
And at one point I tried to make you sing.
I should repost that.
It's on my iPad.
The best part is that one of the best parts is that Al was riding. He was the follow bike. So in case Katie fell out of the wagon, I would know. So
I wasn't going to do anything about it.
Katie kept yelling, "It's Al G. Perkins! It's Al G. Perkins!" It's not Al. It's Al G. Perkins.
Ladies and gentlemen, I probably heard that too.
Continuing on with our story about the nude bicyclist. Quote, this is a party, but it's also a protest, said Carl Larson, a ride spokesman. It's about oil. We're talking about oil dependence and cycling vulnerability and body image is what he says. Cyclists showed up.
That's a lot of things to protest at the same time.
It's Portland. They showed up in the Normandale Park about an hour before the ride, shedding garments according to the ride theme, which was called As Bare As You Dare. Now, these rides are held in more than 75 cities all over the U.S. and in more than 20 other countries. But Portland, Oregon is believed to be the largest with more than 8,000 participants just last year alone.
Wow.
But unlike events in other cities...
How did they not pass the pot law?
I don't know. But unlike events in other cities, the Portland ride works with local police being considered as a protest. Officers then direct traffic during what is generally a trouble-free event. A police spokesman said that we've had a few complaints from neighbors, but overall not many issues of concern for residents who don't care to see it. It's best just to stay inside.
Yes.
Now, Fred Tebow, who is a local resident who's 90 years old, wasn't sure what to think about all the naked people in the park across the street from his house. And while sitting on the front steps of his home, he said, quote, it's entertaining and it's stupid all at the same time.
And there's nothing better than that combo.
But that's great. Few minutes later, he let a young woman and man, both clad in underwear only, use his bathroom.
He's a nice guy.
I did see a picture of a man with a big giant elephant face painted right on his crotch. So that was actually really funny.
Sorry about that little trunk, sir.
That was fun.
Yeah.
How do you drink water through that?
Something wrong with your elephant.
Oh. See, your tusks are gone. Sadly. God, I don't know.
Sold for ivory.
Oh.
So a woman was arrested in Florida.
Shut up!
Stop it!
This breaking news!
Breaking news!
My favorite is still breaking news. We'll be right back. And they went to commercial. I'm like, that's when you know. We're dealing in irony, people.
We could do that.
Well, you know, things tend to come up in Florida, as we've discussed. I mean, come on.
As they do.
Yes.
And, well, now, see, here's the deal. This gal was born in 1977. So you can't blame her parents. And it was bound to become like an infamous household name. But maybe not because of her.
Oh.
Her name is Crystal Metheny.
Shut up!
No. She goes by Tina.
Breaking news. Crystal Metheny found in
AKA
Florida.
Tina.
Shut up. That is
you pretty lady.
Does she have all her teeth?
Well, that's the thing. Yes. She's not smiling because she's not. Well, it's a mugshot.
And that mugshot doesn't look like she's thin either.
No.
I'd smile at mine.
No. She didn't use the crystal meth.
You're a lady.
Apparently, she's not using the crystal meth. She's just named it because she is that larger.
Large and in charge.
It says in here, crystal meth may have existed when she was born, but it would take a long time to become this household name, rapidly poisoning the country state by state. Tooth by tooth.
Her cousin heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
This cracked me up though. I mean, why wouldn't you change your name?
No kidding.
Like once it becomes, you know, a bad thing. But I suppose if you're a felon.
You could even change it to like Mathis, because people would still make fun of that. Crystal Mathis.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
Sound alike still get you in trouble.
Exactly.
They say, you know, but once you're an adult, then unless you happen to be a stripper at a biker bar, a drummer for a
I'll have Crystal Meth. She's on in five.
Please walk up to the stage, Crystal Meth.
Now, let's call her by her proper name, Metheny.
Metheny. I'm sorry, my bad. Do I have stripper music? I'm going to find if I can find that.
I love it. It says you should probably consider changing your name, though, to anything other than Crystal Metheny. It says, hell, bath salts would be an improvement.
Crystal bath salts.
If her name was Bethany Salts, she'd be Beth Salts. That's fine.
That's funny.
That's fine.
And it works. Well, and the arrest was for...
Was for what?
Firing missiles into an, occupied vehicle.
Wait a minute. Where does she get...
They call it
shooting a gun. But this is...
Oh. Missiles?
Firing missiles into an occupied vehicle. This is my new thing.
That's hysterical. Don't fire missiles.
Would you like to see my missile?
790.19, weapon offense, missile into dwelling, vehicle, or building. Thought that's awesome. Charge on arrest, shooting into an occupied vehicle.
Oh, that is
I thought that was fantastic.
Funny.
That's a good time.
They talk about...
She missile launched.
It could...
And not a metaphor, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought you would enjoy this because that's what I was looking for. I'm like, there has to be something I can have, but they did it too well. Since this happened in Florida, we could be talking about a lot of things. Anything from throwing a newborn off a roof to launching a flaming alligator out of a trash can.
A flaming alligator?
He just came out of the closet. Don't judge.
Considering what we know so far, finding out she merely fired a gun into a car full of people would be kind of a letdown. So, but
oh
I thought that was
my
Crystal
God.
Methany.
Now, if you're watching...
Did you look up the stats? statute or what?
No.
I'm actually looking at pictures of the World Naked Bike Ride.
Oh,
and well, there's some fine. Really great looking people
I'm
riding
glad
naked.
We, I'm glad we know
well,
your
they're
part
making
is.
Healthy choices. They're riding their bike. The last week tonight with John Oliver.
Yes,
they do the opening thing is all these different things, and he's hostess mostess. They do. Like fake Latin phrases for everything.
Sure.
Oh, right. And then they get to Florida and they're isthmus.
They're what?
Isthmus preposterous. But I had to freeze it to catch all the different like fake Latin names they had for everything.
That's what, was awesome. That just this last Sunday?
No, it's every Sunday. It's part
no,
of the
I know.
Opening.
Oh, it's part, part of. I haven't seen it then.
Yeah,
and I don't look at the opening. Apparently.
Yeah, watch the opening and okay. Slow it down and see all. And it's all fake. I think there's one real Latin thing at the very beginning, and then the rest is all like.
I'll have to pay attention to that. That's funny.
We have wrapped up the.
You are breathing smoke from shrooms. We're sorry.
Oh. We have wrapped up hour one. Hour two is rapidly approaching. It's just literally moments away. Al Perkins is going to give us our drinking word to kick off hour two, and we work that shit for the next 2 hours. So get ready, get a bottle of wine or a beverage or what do you got, Katie? A red something?
Yeah,
oh, so good.
Red's apple ale.
Apple ale.
Red's I got
apple
a hard cider.
She's got something.
Yeah. I got the hard cider.
Doing Crown and water. Whatever you're drinking, please drink responsibly and drink along with us. Join us in the chat room if you can. But I'd like to say hello to all of the people listening online for audio and all the ships at sea, as I like to say. We'll be back in just moments with more to come right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. Welcome. It is 8 o'clock Phoenix, Arizona time. It's a lovely 104-something degrees. We're not really sure. Ooh. We're coming to you live from Studio C. It's the show. We do it every Tuesday night, 7 to 10. We are a morning show from 6 to 9 in Cairo, Egypt, and we are a Wednesday afternoon show for those of you listening in Auckland, New Zealand. Hello, Tomo, if you're out there.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. I don't know if he's here right now or not, but he'll be here later, I'm sure. He's busy doing shit. He's a busy man. Got things to do. Don't know. We are in the middle of our headline section, but as we do each and every beginning of hour two, sometimes we're a little tardy with it, sometimes we get it right on time. It is time for us to delve into a little legal disclaimer that we have to do because it keeps us out of hot water. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our drinking disclaimer followed by Al Perkins giving us our drinking word. Here we go.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our word is cod swallop.
Oh,
wait a minute. What?
I don't even know what to do with that.
What is that? I don't know what
I hope.
Is.
It means nonsense or balderdash.
Oh, cod swallop.
Would you spell it, please?
I love that the meaning of it is just as much fun. Balderdash.
Could you spell
that's
that, please?
Just that's swallop. Cod swallop.
Cod swallop. CODSWALLOP.
I have to type that in and just
cod swallop.
Cod swallop. Not balderdash.
That's just a bunch of cod swallop.
I actually like the definition word better. I wonder if balderdash is up here higher on the. No, it's not. I'm like, I wonder if they. Balderdash, cod swallop.
Now, I'll see your balderdash and arrange your cod swallop. Now, would you like to. Do we have to use the cod swallop or can we use any dirt?
If you could fit in balderdash too, because that's really funny.
Let me write balderdash.
You know, I actually took the one of our words and have incorporated it into my vocabulary.
Oh, which word is that?
Be
besotted.
Oh, besotted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he
That's
loved
actually
that one.
A word yeah. that I use now. It's a part of my vocabulary.
How,
no,
Katie, how would you throw that out there? Just give an example of besotted.
Well, just talking about someone being intoxicated.
Oh, okay, got it. So
you were quite besotted.
So in other words, you become the hoity bitch
in
the room.
And it sounds a little classy.
Yeah. It does, well, yeah. I was right.
You might be blotto, but you said besotted.
I was besotted last eve.
Well, I helped two friends.
Last fortnight, likely. 14
fortnight.
Days.
A fortnight ago.
A 14 days.
Let's calm down.
From June was besotted.
Yeah. Calm down. Marty.
Oh, my God. Last week tonight with John Oliver, they did one of his stories was, I guess, a contestant on the German version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Mm-hmm. His phone a friend was Frau Merkel.
God damn, that's fantastic.
And John Oliver actually called her Frau yeah. Merkel, and I almost shit my pants.
I said, "Oh no, Sunday. I don't know what Frau yeah. Merkel is."
I fucking roared.
Merkel is the prime minister, but she's the woman prime minister right. of Germany. So we were calling her Frau Merkel the one day.
Yep.
Oh my God, I fucking roared. I saw that
because Frau is a housewife.
And if she were to answer,
right?
Who does a phone a friend? Hello. Oh, I need to.
And I love. She might be busy. I hope she's busy.
She better be. Is it me fine, sir?
I believe it is up to you.
Balderdash.
Now, just so you know, I have added the two words to our drink. It's either or.
Oh, good.
If you can figure it in. So,
Codswallop.
Oh, wait. No, I spelled codswallop wrong. Hang on. Let me fix that.
Codswallop.
Stand by. God damn it.
Oh,
at the end, if you swallow a cod, I guess you're in.
Where's that?
Were you able, or did I send that way too late?
You didn't send me anything.
Then it was way too late.
Then it was way too late.
He was en route to and from the airport.
I was to and from the airport.
Yeah. He spent a fortnight on the way to the airport.
Shoveling my favorite aunt into the Valley of the Sun.
It is.
Shoveling
it is
my aunt.
Shuttling. Not.
I thought you said I was shoving my aunt into the Valley of the Sun.
Get in the valley.
Well, that's graphic. Most people go willingly, but she had to be shoved into the Valley of the Sun.
We got it done, though.
We got it, man.
She's in it now.
Not getting out that easy.
I will shove you back. Don't try to get out.
I'm sorry, Susie, but we had to shove you. Oh, my God. That sounded like a bad answer on Wheel of Fortune. There we go. Codswallop or balderdash. Those are our,
being deaf is fun.
Those are our drinking words. Oh, my God.
Oh, mercy.
Marty Ryer.
Well, there was a woman.
Oh.
Well, we'll call her that. I like to call her a dolphophile.
Oh, okay.
You ever met a dolphophile?
I don't think I have.
Does she love dolphins?
How many people fuck dolphins? Yes.
Oh.
What?
God, I hate people.
How can you catch them?
I just hate everyone.
Why
right
is that
now?
My main concern? Yes.
You notice that I
there's
just
the
let
the swallow part of that story. How'd she
let
catch
that linger. Him? Balderdash.
Yeah.
So this woman admits to sexing up a dolphin.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's even harder.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
As a part of her effort to communicate with the dolphin.
Flipper.
You'd have to fuck her.
You want to get the bitch ready. Get her in the mood.
Flip her to fuck her.
Sex her up.
Oh, that's just wrong. Anyway, this was back in 1963.
Oh.
And we had a video of it. Well, not the sex. But a conversation about the fact that they were researching how to speak dolphin or communicate with the dolphins. And they flooded a house in the Virgin Islands to create a dolphinarium. Mm. I had never heard of such a thing.
They flooded a house
to make it a dolphinarium as a part of a NASA-funded project. So this was a thing. Anyway, this is where Margaret Howe-Lovett met Peter. And of course, his name
Jesus
is
Christ.
Peter.
Yeah,
Peter the dolphin.
This whole thing sounds horrible.
Okay, so there was a BBC documentary called "The Girl Who Talked to Dolphins," where she admits to having sex with her dolphin Peter.
Oh God!
He would rub himself on my knee or my foot or my hand or whatever, and I allowed that. I was comfortable with that. She said,
"Okay."
Well, that's just animal husbandry at that point.
Well, it was not for her. How did she say? It was only sensual for her. sexual for him.
Oh, sure.
But sensual for her. She admits in the video.
The really grossy cheers.
Like shivers. I rubbed one off on a dolphin the other day. It's all good.
In the video, the little piece of documentary, she talks about the fact that, well, then it just got became over problem because...
It knew it could come to her for sex?
Well, leave the cum out of it. They were taking Peter, and they would put him on the kind of this elevator when he would get a little...
Hard?
Dorny? Would it be horny?
Dorny?
And so they would put him on the elevator and put him with the little lady dolphins. Go to your lady dolphins now. And then he became too big to do that, and so she would just...
Size has never been a matter before.
She would just take care
Balderdash. You're not too big for me.
My God, swallow. Swallow, whatever.
God, swallow.
Different show.
Yeah, really, so, just feel like I need to take a shower.
Yeah, she would, you know, rub Peter off.
We have a dolphin aquarium right in there.
She would rub Peter off.
Yeah. Because it was too difficult, and you know, she said of it the dolphin sex, because that's how we refer to it. It was just easier to incorporate it and let it happen.
Merge,
you know, it was an itch. We just scratched it. Oh my God!
I know, but did you ever have fuzzy slippers and a dog?
Okay.
That sounds like a metaphor.
I'm not sure I want to respond. I'll wait. I played the fifth.
But you know how the dogs are like hump the fuzzy slippers?
Yeah.
Because they were furry and about the right, especially with dachshunds, because you're about the right size. They just like long haired.
Right, pink.
My fuzzy slippers are pink.
I'm not shocked.
But admitting you have fuzzy slippers is the first step.
Yeah, but your dog comes up and like humps your leg and you go, oh, okay, Fido, get off me.
Right,
like you're like,
oh, is,
and then you go get them fixed. That's another thing you can do.
But part two is sometimes the slipper is not on your foot.
It just laying there by itself.
The slipper's left unprotected. Bedside and gets gang
Unsafe
raped.
Unsafe slipper.
By
Rover,
a dachshund.
By Rover, who is... Meanwhile, the face on that bunny slipper is going, oh!
The difference being with this is that nobody's hopefully rubbing the dog off.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, after they find out that feels good, they go back and try to, like, oh, well, she's going to rub me off. All I got to do is get it bigger and...
I'll just keep doing that.
Make the elevator seem like a lot of work and she'll rub one off.
Apparently, Peter caused Margaret some minor injuries on his leg. Because he was pushing like an obsessed suitor.
And sometimes her eyes burned. Yeah.
Right. Sometimes her eyes burned.
Anyway, it was a little too much for me. And that, and again, the video kind of thing where they're talking about it is
Well, and I'm looking at a photo here.
I did not go to Google Images.
Not of the actual doing it, I would think.
With Peter.
That's the photo.
Look at the smile on her face.
She's so happy. It's uncomfortable.
Yes.
And what is that? 8,700 people like it? Is that what is that?
That's how many times she rubbed him off.
In the name of science.
I guess. She scratched an itch.
She blinded me with science.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, sometimes it burns.
It burns.
Peter can't see.
Did you ever get science in your eye? It burns.
It does.
Oh, God. So
horrible.
That's how many times this was shared.
I like that. Richard's working, worried about the dolphin. He got checked off twice a day for 20 years.
He's, happy dolphin! Yeah. Flipper. Yeah, like, Jesus.
Add that to a TV career. That bitch is happy.
Well, that worked out well for him.
I think my favorite is that Katie's like, well, I'm looking at a picture.
I know. Yeah.
It's bad timing.
We did not go to Google Images for that. Isn't that fantastic?
That is good stuff.
Come on.
Well, from love in the water to
my face. Love in the water.
From love in the water.
Balderdash.
To divorce on the land. Some people just take their love of Disney movies a little bit too seriously, but what about this? Taking it clear to the brinks of divorce? Well, according to online reports, the Disney movie Frozen has led to one woman in Japan to file for divorce. The woman has apparently become obsessed with the movie, so she made her husband of 6 years watch it in hopes that he would like it just as much as she does. But when he told her that he didn't really care for it, she allegedly replied, well, if you can't understand what...
It's good to not do the voice.
She replied to him, if you can't understand what makes this movie great, then there's something wrong with you as a human being. Well, the man claimed that there weren't any pre-existing issues in the marriage before the epic Frozen fight. His wife has since moved back in with her parents and refuses to talk to him. I say let it go.
Yeah.
Balderdash.
Yeah.
Cod swallow balderdash, bitch.
Cod swallow wallop.
I wanted to do it in the voice and a spin of in a dialect, but
that would have been good.
Well, it could have been.
On Veep when they went when they were doing the rehearsal for the
Oh yeah,
they're doing the rehearsal for the debates, right. And they get to the black guy. Don't do the voice. Yeah. Don't do the voice. Yeah. I only have this voice. It was so god. It was just
it was very funny.
Unreal.
Very funny. That's good stuff.
Go morning.
Well, 31-year-old guy. Imagine comes home to introduce you to his 91-year-old girlfriend.
Oh, it's called Harold and Maude. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
God's going to get you for that one.
Yeah.
Different
no.
mod.
Oh, Harold, so, a sunflower.
And, you know, basically.
91?
Your tongue doesn't look a day over 40, Marge. You know that. Oh,
God. I'm just going to drink on that just because.
I think I'd rather rub off a dolphin. I'm rethinking my choices, and the dolphin's looking better.
Dolphin safe tuna there, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, Katie.
Dolphophiles, all of you.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
You know, fantastic. Okay. This woman's name, as well, on top of everything else.
On top of everything
her name
else.
Is Marge McCool.
Oh,
that a girl.
You can't make this shit up.
Like in real life?
Like in real life. Damn. Come on. And damn. She probably had it changed, unlike that, you know, Crystal McMethany.
Crystal McMethany.
Now she's a meal at McDonald's.
She's French fries and by Betsy.
Pink. Anyway.
All right.
So I don't know what to make of this, because he apparently likes to date people that are
dead.
He's 31. Damn near. Because
put on the banana peel.
This gal's 91, okay. And he likes older gals.
If she's got more than $10, there's something fishy here.
But
there's some cod swallow here.
But she's a good time.
That was the hard part reading this.
She's a good time.
Anyway, basically, the old lady is just scoring some primo ass here, because she's got... I mean, come on. Good
I
on
never,
her.
I never, ever, ever want to hear you say that phrase again.
Good on her. So, she's 91.
And he's the primo ass?
He's 31 but for her.
Can we see a picture? Is he built like a Tonka truck, or is he built like a Pacer?
Well, do you want to see them French kissing?
No,
that was
no,
too much
no.
For me.
God. What's the
that
upper...
is a really right. bad
that's
picture.
I'm looking
girlfriend.
At a picture.
That's his other girlfriend, who's 68.
Yeah. Oh, his other girlfriend.
Yep.
Youthful, spring-like.
He's playing the field.
He's not, I don't know.
That flower's only been dead for a little while.
You go ahead, Katie, you look up Kyle Jones
yep,
for
doing
me.
It now.
I thought you said pile.
Well,
Kyle.
Lower.
Kyle.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
It's a little, that it really is a little
been
much.
Dead less time.
So they she,
it actually, what pops up, it says, hide your grandma, 31-year-old man, talks relationship.
Consuelo.
You know, it's time for a reverse mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about reverse
God.
Mortgage.
Oh, I can't think of that actor's name. Pay attention.
Great.
The idiot that ran for president's talking again.
Oh, my God.
That was fantastic.
I was going to say Fred Savage, but that's not right.
Bad. You know, the thing, his mom is 51.
Yes.
Right?
Did he fuck her, too?
No, let's not do that. Anyway, this picture here is where they're first meeting.
Wow.
Okay? And do you know what they're looking at? They're looking at pictures of her.
Of the Civil War?
Exactly. I was going to say that. Yeah. World War One. I was a nurse.
They're looking at pictures of her. They've been together 5 years, by the way.
Oh,
well, good
wow.
for them. That's really sticking with it.
And,
or in
well,
it.
Well, in it, something.
It's dry,
it,
so he ain't
it,
getting out.
Maybe?
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know.
It's like a gripper. And, just like,
her poly grip slid downhill. He's staying.
Because he can't move.
They're looking at old Polaroids of Marge shaving herself in the shower.
Oh, vulvular vaginitis.
Where? Okay,
that's vulvovaginitis.
I look for some fucked up shit before we get to this show. Where the hell did you find this shit?
Marge shaving herself in the shower.
He likes the older ladies. 50,
now where is
50 is minimum.
Now
but
where
mom's 51?
Where
so.
Is the mom's vomit bucket for that picture?
Just out of frame.
Slightly out of frame. Because
right?
mom looks
yeah.
like she's taking her pulse.
Is that the mom?
She's like, is that a
that's her. She's putting something. Yeah, that's mom.
Does it look like mom's shaking her pulse?
Does it look like a married couple with their mother?
Their mother.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I swear to God, it looks like mom's like, no, son, she's dead. Dead. She died.
Can we call somebody?
He's not monogamous. He likes to date multiple grannies.
He's not monogamous.
No. Multiple grannies. He's got plenty of good
multiple grannies.
Yep.
She just lays there like New Jersey.
He wants to meet the right person and settle down. Of course, he has to do that fast.
There's just second like, clock is ticking. Clock and, really fast.
And before 6 p.m.
Four, if you want to get a good meal.
Blue plate.
Is he looking for money?
Blue hair, blue plate.
You know,
order up.
There was a thing not that was shaved. In here. About, that's right.
She doesn't have to anymore. It doesn't grow there no more. She's got three pubic hairs in her whole body.
And she's going like that.
Oh,
two of them are his.
Oh, Marnie. Oh.
We're down to who's got more, pubic hair or teeth?
Boulder Dash.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
I didn't know we were going to reach this level.
Well, we sure did.
We had to bend over to get it, but there it is.
The most common criticism that Jones hears is you're after money. You're after the inheritance.
That's what I would think.
But it's not true at all. I do this because I like it and they like it too.
I've
dated women from various ends. Of the financial spectrum. But it's never about what they have, unless you're talking about what they have going on underneath their comfortable fitting blouses.
Stop it! You said that?
That is often.
This is uncomfortable.
The things women are so self-conscious about is what I'm into. I like the necklines and the wrinkles. I think the natural hang looks great. I'm sure he does.
Well, I guess it's easy when the nipples are right near the vagina.
You don't gotta. Is right there.
All of this is disgusting.
You don't have to work very
Marty,
hard.
Marty, every story
I can eat you out and suck your tip the same smell.
Literally making me feel filthy.
You certainly don't have to wear yourself out by licking either
no,
one.
No, and he's young. You'd think he'd be more spry, but no. She says, Marty.
Lazy.
Actually, he's not willing. He's not, we don't like him. You know, Marge McCool is, she says she amazes herself, and he amazes me. I wear sexy outfits to bed, because that's not going to terrify you.
No.
That was too much.
It is.
I try to keep my bra on, though, because I don't have much left, she says. Kind of like I don't have much left to say after that.
Or much time to live.
Nope. Want to see their tongues?
No, I don't want to see their tongues.
Because that made me want, I wanted to fucking throw
it's
up.
Like fucking Betty White.
Why are you giving it to me?
Without the money.
Is this milk bad? Here, smell it. That's what that's... What? I don't need that.
This is gross. Here, look.
Yeah, here, look. Will this make you vomit?
It's just too much. Just too much. But that's all.
Oh.
Katie looked disturbed. You're right, Richard.
You wonder why I...
Oh.
But let me tell you, this 68-year-old looks like a spring chicken next to...
Oh, yeah.
She sure does.
Anybody looks like a spring chicken.
I'm sorry, but...
That's a lot.
Next to that balderdash right there.
Oh, God, a tomb with a view. Jesus Christ.
Okay, can we move on?
Oh, please.
Please.
We have a couple more stories to get through before we're done with this. Let's go all the way across the big pond, if we can. A UK or United Kingdom woman called the police emergency line after an ice cream vendor refused to provide more sprinkles on her order. In a recording released by the police, a woman is heard saying, quote, "The person has basically given me an ice cream, and he's put bits on one side and none on the other, and I've said, you can do that properly, please," and he's like, "No." Well, she told the operator that the vendor refused to give her a refund and continued with an explanation before the operator reminded her that the call to 911 was not this was not an appropriate use of the emergency line. Well, and with that story, we bring to you a new segment of our show. We're going to start doing this more often. It's now called Crime Scene Footage.
And now we take you directly to Studio C Theater, where we reenact the best of crime scene footage direct from Crime Scene Footage. And now, our story for the day.
Cheerio, what's your emergency?
Oh, hello, I'm sorry to ring, and it doesn't seem that much of an emergency, but it's a little bit of an emergency, because, well, I'm at an ice cream van, and I've ordered an ice cream, yeah? And the person has basically given me an ice cream, and put bits on one side and none on the other side. And I said, well, could you do it properly, please? And he's like, well, no. And I said, okay, fine then. Can I have my money back? And he said, well, you can keep the ice cream. He's saying he's refusing to give me my money back because he said, that's what I got and that's what I got to take it.
Ma'am, this is not a call suitable for the emergency line. You'll need to get in touch with their trading standards.
What? Trading standards? What's that?
Trading standards, yes.
Oh, you know how to get a hold of them?
On the internet.
Oh. Thank you for listening to Studio C reenacts crime scene footage. Join us next time for crime scene footage.
All I could think of was you hired the Lady McCool yeah. to make sure she had one more job before she fucked a 31-year-old.
Oh, balderdash.
It took me a second to realize what was happening.
I'm still trying to catch on. Oh, that was fantastic. Oh, my God. The fact that you put that together is
I laughed all day long.
Crime.
Oh, my God. What I found...
I'm with you, babe. I don't know.
What I... What? Wait a minute. What is Erin saying? Well, what is she saying?
I'm not sure. How
she
cut.
Just...
She might have just peed a little. We got a guy for you. If you've lost control of your bladder...
Incontinence is his friend.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when you come and you pee down his leg at the same time.
Oh, God.
No, are we talking about the file?
Are we talking about Peter or are we talking about Kyle? I'm not sure.
Probably both of them.
I attempted an English accent earlier, and Aaron was like, yeah, no.
So I called.
That was good. You did a good one.
That was good.
So I called Marnie today, and I said, listen, I need to rely on your acting skills for just a little bit. Like, you got four lines. And she's like, all right, I'm good. I said, but you have to do it as a British 911 dispatcher. I like you ad-libbed the cheerio. 911, what's your emergency?
Well, I wanted to call it accident and emergency because that's what they call it there.
Do you think that's great? I bet they answer the phone, cheerio.
Cheerio. Well, what's your emergency?
They say cheers with everything, so you know that was coming. Oh, cheers.
But I have to tell you, when I found this...
That's fantastic.
Well, it's totally like NPR, Prairie Home Companion.
That is fucking killing me.
It totally is.
I'm like, oh, Grandma McCool is playing the organ. Kyle's organ, I'm sorry.
Peter's organ.
You got the tongue of a 40-year-old.
Marnie.
I was really
son of a
Marnie's got one more. Yes. I've got one more actually important story, and then we're going to move on to entertainment with Al.
Oh, God. I got to tell you. Oh, that's my new favorite thing in the world.
Well,
because things are a little, tense these days, right? There's a lot happening. So I just went with this thing that I found about the 35 dumbest things that have ever happened.
Okay. Ever?
And we don't need to go through all of them, but there were some that I just...
Is there a top 10?
Well, kind of. People like putting things, whether it's tweets and this and that, just different dumb things.
Okay.
Someone put the inauguration of President Barack O'Barner. If Barack O'Barner is our president, why is he getting involved with Russia? Scary.
Barack O'Barner.
Barack O'Barner.
I've always enjoyed him.
He's lovely. Yes. Why do the women never have to take a DNA test to see if it's theirs?
And this is like actual tweets.
Now, in defense of that statement, I was once asked in a physical by a doctor if I took what the fuck are they called?
Viagra?
No.
Birth control.
Birth control pills.
Oh.
15, 20 years ago, I was asked, like, really? Well, he's like, well, weird. I have to ask. I'm like, you don't have to ask shit.
Not a man. Not to a man.
Unless they figure out how we can make those little swimmers stop.
That is so weird.
You know, according to this tweet, Rosetta Stone did not sit on that bus for you gays to be asked for
Oh, she won't sit in the back of the bus, that Rosetta
no,
Stone.
No, she won't.
She's a hell of a woman.
God.
Strong.
Hey, where's the 2014 Brazil World Cup going to be held? Yep.
2014 World Cup Brazil.
No. The Brazil World Cup.
Oh, I got it.
So funny. That just made me laugh. That was stupid. Did they come up with 911 as the police number after 9/11?
Oh, that's saying, that hurts.
These, I mean, just stupid. There was a Facebook post. Robbie says, well, I'm at the hospital and my grandpa's still sick and I have to watch him fucking a man tonight is going to suck. Mason, hey, Robbie, I think a comma would be good here. That's fucked up, man. My grandpa's already sick, and the last thing he needs is to be put in a coma. Fuck you, man.
Comma. Yeah.
Anyway, fucking just made me laugh.
That's funny stuff.
Somebody tried to tell me there was 50 states in America. Nuh-uh, because the scientists...
Because
the scientists found out that Pluto don't exist. We got 49, dumbass. Wow. I mean, when you read that, I was just this is fantastic.
We are spending far too much on education.
Yeah. Really?
We really are.
Well, but people, just as long as you
cut
just
the education spending.
Common Core makes you gay.
Well,
Common Core
it made me gay.
And it makes you really hurt.
many years after the
sometimes
fact.
Sometimes your Common Core will hurt after sit-ups.
It really does.
Mine doesn't.
Just sitting up, you know.
If you can.
Hurt. Yeah, maybe.
And our final story in headlines, and Al, I figure that this one, you might have some recognition of who this person is. A friend of mine named Dan Gore, who you all remember, came to my 40th birthday here. I don't think he does it anymore. He was a George Michael impersonator and has a company called Icons, which is, I forget what the acronym stands for. Text message me, would you please? Anyway, James Hawk never imagined that he'd find fame and success dressed in outlandish women's clothing. He was born in New Jersey and became Gypsy. He got his moniker as a dancer on Broadway and claims that he was never that good of a dancer, but he was always just the right height. when his dancing days were over, he opened a club in New York called Gypsies, and his wicked sense of humor and the A-list crowd made the club a hit. Gypsy moved to Los Angeles and then starred in the cabaret version of La Cage aux Folles in Beverly Hills for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, celebrities were always a constant figure at La Cage, and Gypsy got to know all of them. And one of the people that came, Mel Brooks, came in and was kind of enamored by Gypsy and cast him as Sasha in the film To Be or Not to Be.
Okay.
Also, he co-starred with Jane Fonda in The Morning After, was with Shelley Long in Troop Beverly Hills, also appeared in the film Clifford. Gypsy's been seen on TV and in Married with Children, Dynasty, Matlock, Max Headroom, and numerous other shows. Well, after all that, this young, spry 82-year-old has settled down in Palm Springs, but like most everybody else, he's not there to retire. Gypsy's opening another club. He's opening another drag club there. He's compiled a team of producers, directors, and choreographers, and most of all, the most talented and amazing cast of female impersonators that he could possibly find. This year, Gypsy and his team embarked on a campaign to raise capital and to complete the funding for their new theater in downtown Palm Springs. Now, if you want to, you can go to their website. It's gofundme.com/, and it's James Gypsy Hawk, and Hawk is spelled H-A-A-K-E. So it's James Gypsy Hawk. And on Sunday the 22nd at the Cascade Lounge at the Spa Casino in Palm Springs, you can see them and his exceptional troupe of female impersonators perform in a public showcase. You can buy your tickets online. A $40 donation for their GoFundMe page earns you 2 tickets to the showcase. Or you can also go to jamesgypsyhawk.com and buy your tickets directly. I wanted to go, but it unfortunately actually falls in the same weekend as Miss Gay Arizona America here in town. I'm part of that, so I can't go. But I'm glad to see that my friend Dan Gore is behind another performer. And at 82 years old, you're embarking on a new adventure. Yeah. I think that's fantastic and fun. But no,
I wonder if Kyle Jones is going to meet up with.
Well, now, Kyle Jones is straight.
Well, if he puts that address, we can find him a boyfriend.
Maybe.
Probably so. Now, I'm going to guess, Al, but because of the movies I rattled off, you probably do recognize him as an actor. Performer.
Yeah, and I just found his picture. I mean, I The Morning After with Jane Fonda is a big favorite of mine, and To Be or Not to Be is very good, too. Yeah, I mean, I recognize his picture now that I see it.
I would really like to go
and
to see
it. I always get confused because I forget that there's a drag show called La Cage, and I mix it up with the play, the musical... La Cage aux Folles. I forget that they stole that name and they called that review that was in Vegas and everything Lacage.
Right, which Frank Marino did for so many years.
Right. Well, I didn't think they ever called it the... I never thought they called it the whole Lacage à Folle. I just thought they called it Lacage.
Marnie, thank you for that. ICONS stands for Incredible Creations on Stage. That's Dan Gore's company, and he is behind a part of this for fundraising for them in the wonderful Palm Springs, which is only a four-hour drive from the Phoenix metropolitan area. Again, if you would like to be a part of this or help to donate money or anything, you can go to their GoFundMe.com page. Look for James Gypsy Hawk, and Hawk is spelled H-A-A-K-E on the thing. Thank you, Dan, for giving me that information.
Thanks, Dan.
It is 8:33 and time for us to get on with our entertainment section with Al Perkins.
Here. Entertainment! I was so not ready for this. Okay, so Tracy Morgan hurt in a car accident. Where are we at? Julie Garland's birthday, some movie reviews, the Tonys. Orange is the New Black. We'll do some updates. Whoop, whoop. We have some important casting news from James Cameron. Oh. And I feel like there was one other story somewhere. We'll say no.
We'll say no.
All right. So in a really unfortunate accident in the Jersey Turnpike.
Very much.
Tracy Morgan in his limousine van. And again, always wear a seatbelt, I think, is the message to all these things. Princess Diana will tell you as well.
And get some sleep.
Yeah, but now they're saying that he's saying that that's not true. He's not, like, now he's tweeting, the driver is saying, I never said I was awake for 24 hours. I don't know where the media is running with this, but I was. It's not that. So is it a reckless, is it just reckless, is it careless driving? Is it that? But, hi, Harrison. And it was Harrison's birthday two days ago.
Happy birthday.
Entertainment news.
Harrison.
You continue on. I have a couple thoughts on where you're going with that. But continue
on. And then, Jesus Christ. Now I can't think of what his...
He's tweeting that he had rest and he was not up for 24 hours.
That he was not up for 24 hours. And I think we're going back to... I think he's trying to prove the point that he was just a shitty driver. But it was just kind of funny because it's one more heartache in the...
I don't think that at all. Here's what I think. It's Walmart.
Yeah.
And as much as you love or hate them in the world, they got lawyers out the ass and tons of money.
Oh, yes.
Here's what happened.
Of course.
Walmart truck has been on every news source and is being seen. Their driver is being alleged to not only have he hit them. There's no alleged allegation of that. It's true. He hit them. But the no sleeping thing, is Walmart pushing the drivers too much?
Oh, yes, of course they are.
Don't tell me that somebody from Wally World hasn't come in and said, listen, you need to say X, Y, Z. Right. Yeah. You, in fact, have only been up 4 hours or something. It just seems to me that somebody has stepped in because I'm telling you right now, people in Bentonville, Arkansas are shitting themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that logo has been plastered over everything.
And that was That was my next sentence. Was that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
As if Walmart didn't have enough. Because you know, Walmart, all their commercials now are not about their sales or their prices. Their sales, their commercials now are like the teenager saying, "My life is not over because I work here." Like they're going to help me go to college.
I have an education.
Like,
I have this.
They realize now that it's not just me that thinks they're the evil empire. It's most of America now thinks of that as like you're shitty people that do shitty things to other people, like you
with your shitty Walmart products. Walton Family Foundation.
Like there's
fuck
there's
you
just,
guys.
Who, by the way, it was just published that the son, like the first son of Sam Walton, chairs that entire thing.
Yeah,
and has never once donated any part of it.
I feel like I brought it up last week. I brought up last week that that they with the billions and billions and bajillions of money that they make. You know, the Walton Family Foundation, which they started, they didn't have to actually start it, but they did. And they give 0.04% of their annual income.
It's
0.04.
And they're the top 10 richest people in America?
0.04.
Is it 4 or 6?
Here's goes to show you 0.04 of the
still a lot of
annual
money.
Income. And it's for the four siblings, like the four that are in charge, is $53 million. But imagine what good they could actually do in the world if they were willing to give, 1%?
Same with the Catholic Church. Yeah. You know, sell a painting, do the Sarah Silverman.
Buy better dresses.
But,
want to put like a small, this is totally off context, off topic, but just to put a small context, the GoDaddy, Bob and Renee Parsons of GoDaddy, who also have billions of dollars, they follow in the footsteps of, and they're local people here, follow in the footsteps of people like Bill and Melinda Gates, and they annually give away half of their fortune. Like, whatever, the half of their income.
Right.
Because they don't need that much
money. They give half back to charity. And
and they get to write it all off as taxes. Yeah. So yeah. You win. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
And they're giving back. Just kind of a way to put it into perspective. Big companies giving away half. These assholes give away 0.1%.
Unfortunately, the way our country has been run over the last 20 years or so, some people have there's no choice but Walmart. It's your only place to go. Because the people that say they believe in small businesses, all they do is give money back to Walmart. You know what I mean? All they do is give tax breaks, and all Walmart has done is shut down every small business near them that sells anything that they sell for less. Okay. But anyway, so the sad part about this is not just that Walmart's an evil place, is that this Jimmy Mac
guy's dead.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
the comedian Jimmy Mac, whose real name was James McNair, he was a mentor.
I didn't remember him from anything.
I didn't either.
No, I mean he's been a little bit out of the spotlight, but he was always part of the tours. He performed. He was an early, and because besides Eddie Murphy, there's not a lot of black comedians you remember from a while ago. But Jimmy Mac was actually 40, I can't remember how old Jimmy Mac was. A little bit older. But anyway, so he died, and died instantly from all accounts. And now, of course, TMZ has everyone, the second most evil thing in the world is TMZ.
Yeah, they're pretty
Everyone's
bad.
Sending in Everything. Videos of the crash. I know it's videos and photos. We don't need to see Tracy Morgan.
No, it was a horrible car accident where someone died. Yeah. Like, put your fucking phone away.
And even the... Well, no... Everyone takes
don't me. You send can't, it to TMZ.
Don't send it to TMZ. Right. But you know TMZ pays.
Sure.
But and the driver doesn't even know how many times they flipped. So I just have to say, whatever vehicle you're in, front seat, back seat, limousine protected, you got to put on the seatbelt because Gloria Estefan learned this lesson 20 years ago.
And right. Barbara Mandrell.
Yeah, were they wearing their seatbelts?
No, like, Gloria Estefan wearing her seatbelt?
No, but she was in a bus. She was in an actual bus.
In a tour bus.
You know what I mean? Like, she was living in an RV. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
And they got rear-ended in Pennsylvania, and she just got thrown across the RV like a doll. She's 2 pounds and 4 feet tall.
Right.
Bitch went flying.
Wow.
Yeah. Balderdash. So, I mean...
Balderdash.
Just don't think you're safe in vehicles. Like, buckle up wherever
you
are.
It is hard, because when you're in a big bus or a van, or like... I've been a number of times out in party buses, you know, and I don't think... And you're dancing on a stripper pole, drinking ticket shots. You're not thinking...
Because you feel completely
62.
Safe.
He was 62.
No, he was 62. So he was an older comedian. And he didn't discover Tracy Morgan, but he took him under his wing and became a mentor. Mm. And eventually, I think he opens mostly for Tracy. I think he's his opening act, or one of the two opening acts.
Warm-up guys.
One of the warm-up guys. But the sad thing was that Jimmy Mac was tweeting about great the show was, how fancy it was to be riding back in a limousine to New York, and they're going to North Carolina the next day, and how great this tour was, and how life was. And then, like, they're
seconds later,
they're now starting
to
figure out, like, how...
killed
by Walmart. Jesus Christ.
Death by Walmart.
Very sad.
So for the nerds in the crowd like me that enjoyed Avatar, Sigourney Weaver and her character from Avatar will be back for both sequels. So they were wondering if James Cameron, you know, nothing. He doesn't need Sigourney Weaver, but Sigourney Weaver helps him. He helps her. He directed Aliens, and you know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver's a good time. She was just on Late Night with with Craig Ferguson. She was on Craig Ferguson the other night. She was funny.
Yeah.
She was so engaging. I just really enjoyed her.
And her father invented the Today Show. How do you go wrong with that?
I know that.
Who? Wait, what?
Oh, wait.
Sigourney Weaver's?
I can't think of what his name is. I want to say
Mr. Weaver?
Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Sigourney's dad.
I'm Googling it.
Not Dennis Weaver.
He ran...
I used to love that show.
Dad, Today Show. No, Tonight Show.
Today Show.
Today.
And probably the Tonight Show.
Because this says Sigourney Weaver Father Tonight Show. When I type in Sigourney Weaver Dad.
Then he did both. But he is... He hired Barbara Walters. That's the big connection. That's why they are such close friends.
I found... Side note, speaking of Barbara Walters... not dead yet.
Sylvester Weaver.
Sylvester Weaver. Yep.
What I learned, has anybody else, now here's the TV I watch.
So
the 60s series, it's on CNN.
I've tried that.
I didn't realize.
He went by Pat.
I enjoyed it because I watched the TV one, but the one I'm on World War II in the 60s, World War II and into Korea and into Nam, yada, yada. It popped up. There was a female ABC reporter that was on the streets, And I Googled her.
But not in the hooker way.
No. No.
She was getting paid, different.
I've forgotten her name right now, but I could Google it right quick. But I was like, wait a minute. She's the first ABC reporter, and I come to find out she was like...
But no, not reporter. Barbara Walters is the first anchor.
Anchor, right. Because I always thought that Barbara Walters was literally the first person. No, this woman was a stringer, which in the business they call those. She was just kind of hired hand.
Again, doesn't
she
mean hooker.
No, it doesn't mean hooker.
But every word sounds like hooker.
I think her last name was Ford.
Balderdash.
I think her last name was Ford. But she was one of the very first female ABC news reporters. I thought it was so cool to see footage of her, because I didn't know anything about her. And come to find out, she went crazy, and she actually killed herself in like 64.
She did the whole Jessica Savage.
Oh, well played.
Jessica Savage. Well, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Went nuts on air and then drowned upside down in like 2 inches of water.
Wow.
Fabulous story.
We didn't plan on going there, but thank you.
Went drowned upside down in 2 inches of water. I got to Google this bitch.
Yeah.
Jessica Savage.
Semi-mysteriously. And the movie Up Close and Personal was supposed to be about her, but then it got Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer to start, and it had to be a happy movie with the world's most codependent awful song as its theme song.
Yeah, what was it? Tell me.
If I'd be something if you loved me or something like that.
If there was only a way to look it up.
No.
Celine Dion. At her most horrible.
Yeah. Because you loved me?
Because you loved me.
Yeah, I'm only something because you love me. Because if you didn't, I'd be sitting in the middle in a corner crying and killing myself.
There's that.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I'm thinking
the greatest thing
Carey.
In the world.
Yeah.
That's
right. I don't know. Mariah Carey. So, anyways.
Carey-o.
So then, more importantly, the Tony Awards were on this week.
So
they're on Sunday night. And again, the most entertaining award show
ever.
I didn't tape it because I thought I was going to watch it with you. And
I still have it at my house.
I have it at my house as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Two places.
And I honestly...
You have no dogs and she does. So I'll go to your house.
I got off work.
I have a pool.
Yeah, it's a winner. I got off work and I swore I was going to go to bed. And of course I lied because I watched the entire fucking thing. But luckily I had a really, 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 really super stupid easy shift on Sunday.
Okay.
So I mostly watched them in an empty patients, like an empty room.
Oh, well, like as they happen.
I watched the bulk of it live, and then I had to, every once in a while, I had to do something work related and I had to leave. So
like
I,
save a life.
No, actually,
or make scrambled eggs if you're in the restaurant. He works in a restaurant.
I was nowhere near saving a life on Sunday night. I was as far away from it as possible. But so.
Oh, Jimmy Mack was a 1964 single. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. So, Best Musical was the only one that was nominated that had original music or lyrics. So, surprise, the one that had original music and lyrics was the one that won, and it was, I'm lying to you, because the only one nominated, Bridges of Madison County, was not nominated. But A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder won for Best Musical. The number that they did, I have not seen it, and it's still playing, though. The number that...
I hadn't heard of that one.
I had not really heard of it either. It wasn't on my list. No one had mentioned it, and then the Tonys gave it 10 nominations. It's an original story. It's original score, original music. Very rare these days.
Is that from the... And if you haven't watched it yet, I don't think I'm ruining anything, because it was just a fun little piece where that person came out and, like, changed
costumes three
that
or four
was the
times.
Person
it
in...
seemed very Drowsy Chaperone-ish
to
me.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then
that
they did the thing about... And because he loves all these people and he's trying not to get married, he ends up killing... His answer to the problem is to kill everybody.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's kind of like...
Oh, is that the one where he's singing to the one and singing to the other and going between the doors? Really looked so fun.
And that's what I said. It looked adorable, and I'm kind of sad that no one had recommended it to me. And it's been playing for months, a critic darling, not big with...
Just a minute!
It's doing the whole Smash thing where it's hung on and hung on. They were hoping for Tony nominations, and then they got the win, so now they'll probably make it through the summer and might get a year long run, but they really did
I like when you can relate it back to Smash. That makes me excited.
And there you go. So the best play was All the Way, which is the story by LBJ, Bryan Cranston. Kind of came out of nowhere and beat a couple things, including the Harvey White... Harvey Fierstein show about the people living in... The people that would go to the vacation in the Catskills to live as transvestites. Because they were secretly not gay, but transvestite. So that was so. There was a couple of funny things up against it. Best revival player, Raisin in the Sun. The reason that that's a big deal is because it was finally a chance for the Glass Menagerie, which premiered on Broadway before there were Tony Awards, and has since in all its revivals never won a Tony Award. And it's probably the greatest play in the English language.
The Glass Menagerie,
not by Shakespeare. Because you could probably argue a couple Shakespeare things to me, but I think The Glass Menagerie is the most beautiful piece of writing ever done, and it's never won a best play Tony of any way, shape, or form. So just kind of strange. And it's got what's-his-face from Star Trek and from American Horror Story. Zachary Quinto.
Oh.
It was his big starring vehicle, and it did really well. Revival of a musical was Hedwig and the Angry Inch. There was really no way
around it. Not surprised.
There.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I told you, just balls to the wall. And just imagine that in a tiny, tiny theater, because the Belasco is tiny, tiny.
It was one, yeah. So we had that at Tinseltown. I think I told you that. The performance came in, and we were there for...
With Scott like, and with whatever. Scott. Uh-huh. I can't remember what Scott's boyfriend was.
It was Jimmy. Jimmy is the person who played Hedwig.
Right, that's his boyfriend's name.
And...
Ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. And it was... amazing. Like, it was so much fun. And we dressed up punk and, like, we did all this stuff and it was very cool. Maybe 3 months or better later, John Cameron Mitchell was in Tucson. And Johnny and I, you remember Johnny, Clayton?
Johnny Simkus. Johnny Simkus.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And so we drove down there. We're like, why not? Because we felt like groupies. Like, we felt so cool, you know, because we were a part of it. And they're like, come with us. I sat right next to John Cameron Mitchell. At this restaurant and just kind of gabbed with him and had a really good time and had my cute little thing that he signed, you know, that my backstage pass. And then he's just this little guy. And all of a sudden he gets up on stage and does a couple of Hedwig songs. And he was 9 feet tall. It was amazing to see him. And then all of a sudden I'm watching the Tonys and, you know, Neil Patrick Harris wins. And it's like, John Cameron Mitchell, I want to. And then John Cameron Mitchell standing up, and it was
and Stephen Trask who wrote all the music.
Stephen Trask, it was, but
and
it was
did the music
just
for Camp.
Amazing!
Yeah.
It was just amazing for me to like sit there and watch that whole thing and the 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun and so excited for those guys.
And it's a brilliant show. The music is fantastic. Best actress in musical, Jessie Mueller for Beautiful, the Carole King musical, Katie O'Hara.
Oh, she's so good. I've seen
Katie O'Hara is actually Scarlett O'Hara's real name. That's not her name. Kelly O'Hara is the actress.
Oh, I was like,
Katie O'Hara is Scarlett O'Hara's real name.
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, her name's Katie Scarlett.
Oh.
If you've seen the movie, you know that because her dad calls her Katie Scarlett.
Because I've never seen the movie.
I've never seen it.
I can't help any of you with your problems. But anyway, so...
I've actually seen it. Didn't retain it.
Yeah, so... Whatever
he's a
her
savant,
name is,
for God's sake.
Yeah.
Not about Gone with the Wind. That's just common knowledge.
I will tell you, I've actually watched it. And, like, I watched it, paid attention.
In defense, I will say a 1964 carburetor settings of a Cadillac is common knowledge. Fuck you. You're a savant.
So, Neil Patrick Harris, in a surprise to no one, and because he was good, and the two guys from Gentleman's Guide canceled each other out.
He looked really nervous when they said that when they announced, like, the... nominees.
Well, I think it's just as hard to be the presumptive winner, because what if you lose?
Because what if you then it's
what
weird.
If everyone has said you're the sure winner of the night and you
except
lose?
You're not.
Except for that you didn't win. Audrey McDonald now sets a Broadway record. Not only does she have a 6, which she's tied for most Tony Awards with Julie Harris, who died a couple years ago, but she's now won in every acting category possible. Now she has
No.
She's won leading actress in a play, featured actress in a play, featured actress in a musical, and lead actress in a musical. She's now won a Tony in every possible Tony acting category.
Until
she grows a penis. And everyone said that it was a big to-do as to whether they would make a story about Billie Holiday where she sings a musical or considered a play with music, and they considered it a play with music because it wasn't... There's so many weird rules this year. Like Aladdin, even though it's been performed all over the world, it has a stage show. It was considered a new musical, not a revival. It makes no sense. But Hedwig and Violet, because they've been performed all over the place for many years, were considered revivals, even though they've never played on Broadway.
That's so
it just
weird.
Makes no sense. But Disney just spent some money and obviously bribed they dug up Antoinette Perry and handed her money. Right. Well, no, but not. They didn't win for best musical.
But that guy won.
Right, but that was fine. That's
he was featured, right?
But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter where you fall in a musical, whether it's brand new or 90 years old.
Oh, he could have won regardless.
You could have won for anything. It's the actual category. And then Neil Patrick Harris in his speech said he felt disappointed that John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, their music couldn't be nominated because it wasn't considered an original score because it's been done so many times and you have to go back to Aladdin. Like, there's an actual show in Disney called Aladdin the Musical.
Nope.
Like, you can tell people that it's just money.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. But either way, it happened. And then best featured actress play was Sophie Okinada, whatever. But Bryan Cranston won for All the Way. Mm-hmm. Lena Hall wins for Just a Singer. She really doesn't have much acting to do in Hedwig. She really does just sing.
Oh, yeah.
The background.
She was a featured
Yeah, she got featured actress in a night full of roles that maybe had a little bit more acting, but her singing is so good, and she just sells you. You know, when they have to when they have to show you how the ending goes, and Hedwig has to become Tommy Gnosis, and Lena Hall has to become Hedwig,
because
you're telling it with the same two people on stage at all times.
Yep.
So you really have to get something across. So I think she won for the ending.
Oh, good.
Can I ask you, like, I felt like there were a lot of mainstream TV movie stars.
Yeah, they are. That's how they fill the seats now. It's all very nice to have a Broadway show, but if you don't put the guy from Breaking Bad in a show about LBJ,
it made me almost feel a little bit sad
LBJ?
For like the hardcore.
But they go back
Broadway
and forth. A lot
actors.
Of people go back and forth. Like Sutton Foster had a TV show. The problem is when they go to TV,
she did.
Like Audra McDonald. Yeah, it was called
Bunheads.
Bunheads.
Oh, no
and it was
idea.
Actually kind of cute.
Damn it, because I was cute. Enjoyed her tremendously.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
She is phenomenal.
Kelly wants to name our
agree.
Next child Sutton,
okay.
Boy or girl.
Not
she's in.
Disagree.
Oh, I'm on board. Can I be on board with that right now? Sign up.
Yeah,
Kelly likes it.
She is one of the most talented people that I have ever
Sutton, June,
and this
Sutton.
Is the fourth or fifth show that
Sutton,
I saw
Sutton.
Her in
yeah
I think it's the fifth show I've seen her in, and she is every time I see her in a show I'm just that voice
unbelievable
because Idina Menzel is a little shouty and I get the complaints about her
no I don't
and then
but I can't I can never hear a complaint about her she's
I know.
Amazing
but then Sutton Foster sings and you're like all right that's
it's
just
she
just
was so good
it's just a
it's
pure
clean.
Voice
yeah.
just
yeah.
hearing the music and I really Palmer stayed
strength.
Up late like she I made her stay up late. Although she was having fun, we were dancing to everything.
Oh, I saw your
singing.
Post on Facebook
oh
about
God.
Why are we applauding?
Oh she
and
goes,
like,
why are we clapping? I made her stand up. I'm like, stand up. I literally made, she was on
listen
the couch.
To this.
She stood up on the couch and we're cheering and clapping. And she goes, why are we clapping? And I said, because Broadway, honey, Broadway.
Yes.
And we just,
that's how
and
you
I was like up. In tears. Yeah.
There were two things that I learned, and one of them was from him in regards to Sutton Foster. One is anything goes. When she did that, and it was on the Tonys, and we watched it. How many times you watched it at your house?
About 100.
And then, because of what I just did with Barbara Seville a few months back in regards to her talent number, we used from Drowsy Chaperone the, what is that?
I don't want to show off no more.
Yeah. Loved it. Okay. Fan
I have total chills. No, I just love musical
Aaron,
theater.
Aaron in L.A. is saying she's way too shouty. Are you talking about Idina?
Yeah.
Aaron in L.A.
In L.A., yeah, that's what I said. Is Aaron Beck. Beck? Had a back surgery, right?
Oh,
right?
Got it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and I love Idina Menzel. Don't get me wrong. Big fan. But I
had
get the
fantastic husband.
People.
Ex-husband.
I know, and it's so
I
sad.
I said had.
had. But there are complaints about her being too shouty and that she, you know.
God, I think she's amazing.
Her voice. It's her voice, though. It's the quality of her voice. It's the tone of her voice.
Oh,
I just.
You're preaching to the choir.
Oh,
I just,
heart transplant, not a back surgery.
My bad.
Aaron in L.A.
It's in the front of your back.
Little
sorry,
bigger.
Sorry, honey.
But it's the.
She drinks.
The
she does.
Forbidden sorry, Broadway, man. Where they make fun of Broadway shows and they go
right,
over it.
Right.
They go after her this time.
For Don
Quixote
or what?
They go over it. They go after Idina Menzel. And so the song is, my nodes never bothered me anyway. Because she's always having
that's
to do
funny.
Something
sure.
with her voice. Mm-hmm. And I love how many people thanked Liz Chapman. I think her name's Liz Chapman or Libs Chaplin. She's a vocal coach that teaches people how to sing 8 shows a week and not fuck up their voices forever.
I like to go to
her. That's what happened to like half the cast of Rent is because singing Rent 8 shows a week, they all had to drop out eventually because they
you
were losing their voices.
That, right.
And that's how they get rid of Elphabas in Wicked is because you can't be hoisted on a wire and scream that last note 8 shows a week without ripping your fucking throat out.
My
right.
God.
So now they have these, and so there was at least 3 people that thanked her in musical categories.
You're right. I remember
I would like to know what that secret is because how do you not still hit what you need to hit and not do
because you need to know how to support it, how to breathe, how to make it come from your chest.
God
not
almighty,
doing that
I just wish
does this involve sit-ups and working out?
Well, it might.
Fuck it. Balderdash.
Yeah.
Balderdash.
Codsucker.
Cock swallow. I don't know if that word is either.
Could you say,
luckily,
did you say cocksucker?
I may have, may or may not, allegedly.
New word, ladies and gentlemen, cocksucker.
But, okay, tell me you're going to bring up the thing that just astounded me from the beginning of the show. Like, astounded me.
The hopping?
Oh, well, first of all, Jesus Christ, he hopped.
I didn't get
way.
It.
And
It was from a musical in the 50s. And I can't remember who the actor is, but I had to Google it too because I'm like, what's with the hopping? And at one point, he hopped by
the screen.
The screen
and to me, that's
number.
When I was like, that may maybe that's a Dustin Hoffman movie. Like, I literally thought that was
It was Tootsie. Pretty good for him.
Oh, my God.
God,
and the shape that man's in. And incredible. Then to come out, because Round Midnight won for Best Choreography, and not only did they bring out Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, Fantasia.
That was really good.
Mom says to me today in the car, Fantasia needs to pull it back a little bit.
Oh, but she
said that today in the car.
She opened that show, and who have they replaced her with? Gladys Knight, Patti LuPone, and Vanessa Williams. Like, you know you threw down the gauntlet.
Patti LaBelle.
But you know you threw down the gauntlet when that's what they have to replace you with to keep people in the seats. Because she's a sale now. Like, she opened Color Purple.
Sure.
She's phenomenal.
She was great. And then what a good show open. Like, that song was so good.
It was
to
so
open
good.
The show.
But then they go through that choreography, which won for Best Choreography. And then to have, all of a sudden, here comes Hugh Jackman, and the motherfucker can tap dance.
Yeah.
Right.
That's he's Balderall.
Amazing. And rap.
That is balderdash.
Balder, cocksucker, whatever it is.
Cocksucker,
balder.
And not only did he tap, but he fucking tap danced for real.
He did. That was not like a fakey thing. And what about.
He didn't do anything. Fakey. He's amazing.
What did you think about the rap?
Oh my God, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Hysterical.
Because
I
as soon as, and I said, I saw the Music Man when my boyfriends, Craig and Neil, that I tell you, if they go near anything, you just go see it. And Scott Rudin, who I always say, if Scott Rudin signed his name to it, they thanked him when they won Best Musical because he produced A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Scott Rudin's involved, you go. Neil and Craig are involved, you go. Yeah. Don't ask questions. So they did questions. The Music Man with Matthew Broderick and Christian Chenoweth for ABC, Wide World of Disney, their
when?
Movie of the week. Like 10 years ago when no one was paying attention.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And they did the original book. They didn't change it. They did as much choreography. And when I heard that opening song, I'm like, kind of a rap song. And then when I saw it in New York, I saw it with cutie Craig Bierko. I was like, you know, that really is kind of a rap song, the way that they keep that going. And so they didn't change. Everyone was complaining about it, like, why would you do that to Meredith Wilson? They didn't change one word of that song.
Sure.
That That's is, so cool. And they really didn't change the rhythm. They just added
a beat.
Quest, the guys from Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. It's Questlove. It's The Roots.
The Roots added that beat to it. That's not one word change. And everybody's like, oh, Meredith Wilson would roll over in his grave. Why?
No, they thought it was real cool.
They didn't do anything to
it. It was so fun.
It was so
and
much
fun. And what a fun thing to like add into the Tonys.
But the fact that you didn't mention anything about Les Mis has kind of blown me away.
We're not done. We're coming back. Yeah. We got hour three. We're starting.
I can't spend the whole 3 hours in the Tonys because you would.
Yeah, I know you would. Can. We're coming back in just a few seconds. The hour three starts us off. Remember, we had the luxury of going past 10 if we have to, only for emergency purposes. Like last week, we went for 3.5 fucking hours.
Balderdash.
That did not happen.
Yes, it did. We are coming back. We have the continuation of Alan's Entertainment. Katie June's coming up with sports and other stuff. Stick around. Our word is balderdash. Drink up. We'll be back in moments right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. It's the beginning of Hour 3. You are live with us. We are Q Talk America. It's The Show on Tuesday night at Studio C. I'm sitting here with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. I am Clayton McKee. Thank you for being with us. We are in the middle of a segment we call Entertainment. Al Perkins has the floor, and we will continue on with him right now. Al, we are back to you.
Okay, well, I was trying to cut back on the Tonys, but...
No, we loved the Tonys.
Even though it only closed 10 years ago, this is already the second mounted revival of Les Miserables. And actually, I'll bring this up first. A local girl who, if you, in the last 10, 12 years, have seen just about anything in Phoenix, at Phoenix Theater or Stagebrush Theater. Let me find her name. Natalie Ellis. I don't know how to pronounce her middle name. But Natalie Ellis is a local girl, makes good. She did local theater here from when she was a young child. I think I saw like eight or nine times on stage. She is in the original Broadway cast of the second revival of Les Miserables on Broadway. Everyone was offering her congratulations because she got to sing at the Tony Awards.
That is so
on stage. But so this production is slightly different. They've gotten rid of the nobody spins around. Nobody gets car sickness from being at Les Mis anymore. They don't spin around. But the big thing about this, and really a big part of competition for Neil Patrick Harris, and I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Ramin Karimlo. He's Iranian actor. He's beautiful. And if you get a chance, all you got to do is YouTube, Google it. He does Bring Him Home on one of the morning chat shows.
How do you think we're going to spell that?
It's Ramin Karimlo.
Google is a friend.
And actually, if you look up Natalie Ellis's Facebook page, it's on there.
Yes.
Yeah, this is on here.
And she is adorable. Yeah. And I called her being a big star about 15 years ago. Yeah. I saw her in so many different things.
He's got a great body.
Oh, my God. And he's got a voice of a dream, and he'll make you forget that Colin, whatever that fucker's name is, ever sang that song.
Tell me, Rahim?
I can't.
Last name?
Ramin. It's R-A-M-I-N.
K-A-R-I-M-L-U. I'm not on board.
A friend of a friend of ours, Dr. Chris, this is a friend of his. He actually knows him, and he was going to be...
There's that. Okay, good, good. They can hear you.
They can see you.
Yeah, that too. But anyway, so this was a friend of his, and we had tickets for Saturday night. Oh my God, no, he is. You are looking at bad pictures.
I'm looking at all of them. Google has a lot of images.
This is a man, Mama, and then he starts singing. So he was in it, and just really good. And the Do You Hear the People Sing? And What's His Face is playing Marius.
Stand by. Oh.
It will bring it back to Smash.
I don't know. I'm Andy Mientis, Natalie Ellis.
Yeah, Andy Mientis from Smash, that was the writer that got hit by the car.
Oh, yeah.
He got the role of Marius.
Good.
That's him singing Bring Him Home.
Bring Him Home. Oh.
All right, well,
and
I'm sure there's a better copy of it than
that. That was a tease.
It's gorgeous.
Then Google it.
Take the time. And I can't remember if it's from, I think it's live with Regis and or whoever Kelly's with now. Kelly Michael. And Michael.
Michael.
I think it's from there. But anyway, it's so wonderful. And the other revival.
Whoever she's with. She's a whore.
The other revival from this year, and the cast album is out, is Violet with Sutton Foster. Yeah. Probably the best score I have heard since Ragtime. I mean, just the most beautiful, beautiful music. And it's the woman that wrote the filler music for Thoroughly Modern Millie back then. And that's why Sutton Foster is in it, because... Oh, I almost had her name and then I lost it. But anyways, but it's really good.
I want to see. I want to see Beautiful as well.
Yes,
I do too
because I'm a huge Carole King
fan. Absolutely,
that's why. You know. Yes.
And her voice is just beautiful.
They were so good together.
I thought so, yeah,
I just had so much fun watching the Tonys and.
I was so
proud of it. I had been in a birthday, little kid's birthday party prior to that. And
so
the
you
guys,
were drunk?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Just kidding. Good call.
The guys were all talking about the, what were they going to watch that night? There was like hockey maybe and like basketball. And I chimed in and I was like, oh my God, the Tonys, you guys. And everyone looked at me, including the woman at the table, and they were like, that is so ridiculous. Are you serious? And I'm like, are you serious? Yeah. And we had to like have a whole thing. And I'm like, you guys are horrible people and you're raising your children to be horrible people.
And then there's this whole thing about Gene.
You can have culture one day a year for 3 hours. You can get a little taste of culture.
I know. I was literally.
Between the Tonys and the Lincoln Center.
The Lincoln Center. Those are the two most.
Kennedy Center.
Those are the two most entertaining programs on TV.
We were just laughing hysterically because they were all taking their little kids home and watching NBA finals, and I think I was the only parent taking my child home to watch the
Tonys.
Well,
your child would be all the better for it.
Because you're angry because it was in the WNBA finals?
No, the Tonys and the WNBA finals are great for me.
Of course.
Although, it would be tough. If it was two on the same night, I mean, I would just DVR.
Right, we don't live in the days of that.
Thank you.
No. And as soon as I have time to get the Contour people over to my house, that Contour machine's going right the fuck in.
Really? Yes. Oh, you're taking all the pills.
Watch different
six shows
stuff
at once
in different rooms.
You are.
And when I travel, I can take
on
my
the
whole
same
cable
channel,
box with
same
me.
Time. Like,
because next month I'm going to be gone for most of the month, but I'm going to be paying for cable.
How How do you pay attention?
Same cable box. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
We may be taking some nights off.
Record a million things at once.
No, you guys will be fine. Get substitutes. But I'm just saying, like, next month I'm going to be out of town and paying my cable bill, so I want my cable box. Like,
sure.
When my family goes to bed at 6:15 in the p.m.
Right. On your iPad?
I want to watch True Blood. Yeah. All right, you all went to bed.
It's still only 3:15 in the p.m.
Yeah. You're not watching golf, for God's sakes. We know that.
I tried that and they turned it off, motherfuckers.
Sons of bitches.
So I'm going to do a couple quick movie reviews. Well, the first one, The Fault in Our Stars, I did not get to see that this week, but I'm going tomorrow. Cleaned up at the box office, made a lot of money.
Oh, we're going this weekend.
Reviews have been very strong. I would say go see it. I belong to this really horrible movie fan page that I can't chew my arm off fast enough to get out of. Because all they do is, like, sci-fi movies, and I'm like, enough.
Well, why in the hell did you subscribe to that?
Well, because somebody told me it was a serious movie site, so that was my bad. The new Tom Cruise movie, though, The Edge of Tomorrow, terrible title, really good
You know
movie.
Why it's the horrible title?
Heard it was because, great.
No, yeah. Here's why it's a horrible title. The Edge of Tomorrow is the name of the soap opera that the character in Hot in Cleveland was on that Wendy Malick plays.
Oh, right.
Every That's time awesome. I hear it, I'm like, are we talking about this? That
it's That's a awesome. Terrible title, but it really is a good movie.
And it is a terrible title,
and good he's confident. Had a couple of clunkers, but this one it's actually fun. Yep. It's exciting. It was really good,
and that's with
Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, that's right. I like her.
Really, very.
It got really good reviews, which I was surprised because I think Tom Cruise.
You want to start
movies,
over? Want to start over?
I think Tom Cruise movies are dumb.
He is a dumbass.
Now, Scientology exceptional.
I don't care. Like his personal life, I have no interest in. But he's like, I would say he's a movie
Neither
star.
Neither is Nicole Kidman.
He's not a video star. Like, don't.
She likes to look down on him.
He spends no money. Like, his movies are not meant to be played at home.
He stands on a box and the camera has to.
But the stand on the box thing is that's gone now. Whatever. Because everybody knows he's short. So he the jig is up.
Okay.
You see his feet and his head in the same shot.
Oh, my God.
But then, like, Mission Impossible 4 was amazeballs. And then he had a couple of clunkers. Like, last year he did Oblivion. And I go see them all because Tom Cruise, not for video.
Sure.
He gets my $10.
Right.
On the big screen.
I want to go see him on the big screen. And sometimes I'm like, I didn't really need to say that.
Okay.
And then this one, yes. Oblivion, no. This one, definitely yes. Very entertaining. The time went by fast, and I liked it. I saw 100 Ways to Die in the West, and I love every single person in that movie.
I want to see that.
It's awful.
Oh, really?
Awful.
Oh, what was it?
Tell me.
Really?
I wanted to see it.
Tell me again.
100 Ways to Die in the West. Seth MacFarlane.
Ted.
I love him. I love Ted. I love the Family Guy. Yeah. I love Charlize Theron. I love everybody in this movie down to like Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah. Like every
All of
person
them.
In this
I heard that it was
awful.
Wow.
Awful, awful, awful.
Okay.
Well, if you're saying that,
it was the laziest written piece of shit. Seriously, it was just lazy filmmaking
and horrible.
Is it just bathroom jokes and
no? It's not funny. It's not like I will laugh at. I am not averse to bathroom jokes.
Okay, what do you?
Did you see that yet?
Oh, how funny!
Yeah, there's a gay version of The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh,
I cannot tell you to stay away from this movie.
Okay.
Strongly.
100 Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, do not go. Yeah.
Right.
And then I went and saw Chef, which is the independent movie, Jon Favreau, and then all the favors he's pulled in over the years for making Iron Man and all the times that he's like broken the bank. He's from Made and from Swingers. He's back in front of the camera and behind the camera. He wrote it. He directed it. He co-produced it.
Oh, Chef.
Chef.
Kelly said it was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. A little bit predictable, a little bit.
But just like an enjoyable movie to go see.
And we kept expecting it to turn into a Jon Favreau movie. Like, we thought at some point the gangsters were going to come in and shoot somebody. And, like, so you kept thinking they were going to go down some road of, like, now the cops are going to come and kill them all. Nope. It's just a charming little family movie. It was very charming. Mm-hmm. It's a father son movie. Do not go in expecting a Jon Favreau movie. Okay. This is about a father and a son and going back to your roots. You pretty much know how it's going to end about 10 minutes in.
Oh.
But it doesn't matter because it's a delightful journey on your way there. Cool. And it was an obvious Apple commercial.
Okay.
Like, clearly the
every
money,
product placement.
The reason he didn't have to make Iron Man 19 was because Apple gave him all the money to make. At one point, there's a whole scene where they make fun of Galaxy phones.
Oh.
And it's really funny. Like taking reverse product placement. Like, when they don't, when someone's not using an Apple, they just make fun of the
phone.
They
just bag them.
Just bag them.
Sure. All right.
Very, very funny all the way around. And it turns out, I can say this now, Sofia Vergara can act.
Yeah. Aww.
Why can she act? Because it turns out Gloria is a completely made-up character. She's nothing like that.
Course.
Well, I just no, but she goes on talk shows and she keeps up.
Oh, she acts like
she keeps
up because she realizes that that's
thing.
Where her money is.
Yeah. Right. So in this one, she just plays somebody Hispanic, but she's not
normal.
Supposed to be Colombian. She has an accent, but there's no jokes about the accent. Yeah. She's a very responsible, loving mother, trying to like guide people. She's making smart choices. She's playing a normal person, and you're like, oh, they're both. It's all characters, like you know what I mean? Because it's just on talk shows she does the Gloria thing so much.
Right?
Like there's no jokes about her accent. There's nothing at all.
And in the commercials, like for the makeup and whatever, CoverGirl.
Yeah, everything she does. Right.
She tends to sell that as her brand, but it turns out that if one of these is the real person or neither of them, and she really is this good of an actress, but she's Sofia Vergara is really a good, strong. It's a very nice, strong role in this movie.
I really want to see it.
Very soulful mother, and then we'll get to. Do you have Eric Cantor in yours?
Oh,
I do.
May I ask a quick question on movies? Because I want to go see something, but I want to know if it's worth it.
Okay.
Obvious Child. Have you seen it?
Oh, I want to see it. I applied for free tickets from KJZZ and they didn't give them to me.
Oh, I'm not familiar with this. Is it just coming up?
It says it's a female version. Like a female version of Knocked Up is how it's kind of been described. But it's about abortion or
who's
choice. It's about... I honestly don't know.
She's an actress from Saturday Night Live. I think.
But I can't think of her name.
Yes, I just read about this, and yes, go see it.
Obvious Child is so good. Molly says, "That's right, Molly. I thought that you had."
Yes. I just read some really good things about this, but it's.
Am I wrong that it's a pro, like a
Jenny Slate? Yeah, she was on there for once. She's the one that said "fuck" on her first time on screen, and she only lasted the one season.
Is that her?
This is an older movie that's finally getting a release date. If it's just getting released, but it was made a couple years ago. This is a movie that's been making the rounds at festivals and stuff.
Okay,
it's like 5 years old.
Oh, I just heard the
first me too. Thing. Yeah. Right,
but I think it's finally getting a release. So then the last thing that will lead into all that Katie has to say. Yeah. Is, of course, last Friday was the worldwide release on Netflix of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop.
I'm trying to restrain myself. Plus, I worked a lot, and the Tonys were on, so I didn't have a lot of time for television.
Sure.
Episode one, we're back to whiny white woman problems, which I can't, like, that's when
one.
I hate the show.
Whiny white woman problems.
No, episode one left me with, like, a massive anxiety attack.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
It was good. It's the only one that's so.
But it's what almost it almost got me to not watch it. So last year, it's like I do not want to watch some whiny fucking white woman talk about going to prison for a crime she really committed. Sure. Like I can't.
I've seen SVU.
But then episode two.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Cherries, four cherries. What wins in Vegas now?
I'm with you.
Oranges, bells, whistles.
If you've got a cherry in Vegas, you're a loser.
Episode no, you always get some money for the one cherry. One cherry always gets you. It's a push.
Different meaning.
Oh, okay.
Different meaning.
Balderdash. But anyways, oh my God. Episode
so good.
One, I wasn't a huge fan of because I don't like it when it's just her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Episode two was brilliant. And I'm halfway through episode three. And then I had to eventually go to bed at some point this weekend. Oh my God.
But the one for episode one was cracking me up with the chick from Michigan. Who was like, tell me, but now what time were you born? Because if I don't know what time, what time you're born. And then when she wakes up and Nat Piper wakes up and the chick was like, right here. Like, what? Did you find out what time yet?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God. Like,
wow.
In this bunk, here's the bunk mate.
Yeah.
Like, on it. Did you find out?
Yeah.
And I was like,
hell no.
The black lady that took a shit in public.
Yeah,
she made eye contact.
It is really good.
Is it episode two where she tells you, I was in a cell with a black woman who shit all the time while making eye contact?
Yeah. We've only done episode terrifying. Two because Kelly and I just have not had the schedules like to watch together. So we've only watched two episodes.
And episode two is...
Oh, it's great.
Brilliant beginning to end.
Yeah, no, it was really great.
And from there, I think we're on four.
Now, they're eligible.
We might be on four.
The Emmy nominations come out July 10th, and they're eligible for last season, not for this season. But how smart is it to have the new season playing while the Emmy voters are voting.
It's in their head.
I honestly think that this is going to make a much... And it's a female-centric show, which is the other reason that I love this show.
Female-centric. That's a nice way of saying it. It's just all about lesbians.
No, it's not about lesbians.
Well, it sounds like it.
But there is a lot of lesbian action.
It's every age, every type, every color, every sexuality. Yeah. Like, there is just every kind of woman. And even,
there's a little much, and then there's things that you're comfortable with. Because you are such a... You are so white fence.
I am. I'm vanilla. I'm whatever you want
to
fucking say.
You won't even talk about a vibrator.
What up? Shut up!
And there it is.
See? Baldur. Like
when you have Big Boo standing there and talking about peanut butter, why your dog isn't
and
there
scissoring,
anymore. And why
but
your dog
they didn't
isn't
show
there
it.
Anymore?
They didn't show
it. They didn't
it.
Show it. I know, and I wanted to throw up.
But it was just so funny. Where's your dog? Jesus. Things got a little weird.
Things got weird.
I know. Aaron goes like this. Aaron looks at me and she goes, "They." She did, and. And she kept like stuttering.
Oh, yeah.
I was laughing. So
Kelly
I was
like, and I were
Leah,
like, wait.
But did Leah Delaria nuts without showing
She's
you
great.
Anything?
Yeah.
She sold that whole thing with looks in three words.
She did.
Got That's a little funny. Weird.
Yeah.
She is really, really good.
Yeah. Wait, when you get into some of the middle episodes
on the Today Show.
So
on the Today Show this She's morning, great. They had Taylor Schilling and Laura Prepon and Jason Biggs and. Whoever the girl is that plays Crazy Eyes.
Oh, she's
phenomenal.
So good.
What? She's like a pretty, normal looking girl. And when I saw her on there, I went, holy shit, that's Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because she went in to audition for the track star, the girl who came in halfway through or towards the end of the first season.
Yep.
And she auditioned for her and she didn't get the part. And afterwards, the producer said, I think you'd be really great for this other part. And she goes, wait a minute. What about my audition made you think I would be good for the role called Crazy Eyes?
Yeah.
Like, what did I do?
And is she...
The funniest thing then is she said it was supposed to be... Her character was supposed to be a two-episode arc. And after the second episode that they filmed, they said two, maybe three, if you're lucky. And after they filmed the second episode, the producer said, we're gonna keep you running. She was thinking, yes, I get that third episode. And it's just so funny because she's one of the major characters.
Oh yeah, and you can't wait for her to come back. I know she's
pretty
gorgeous,
pretty girl,
and she's one of the major. It was just
is that the one that has the little nappy ends?
Yeah. Okay, got it. The knots and she's
crazy. I haven't seen it. I just saw promo pictures.
Oh my god,
yeah, Don Imus. She's the one with the nappy hair. That's what you
daughter dash. I don't know what you call them, little ends, like little tips.
Just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Pom-poms. Go with pom-poms.
Did you call me Don Imus?
He did.
That's, yep.
Nobody.
You say nappy, we say Don Imus. Nappy, Don Imus.
Okay, on this half of the table, she has no fucking idea who Don Imus is.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Rutgers, hello, it was all about women's basketball.
Yeah, that wasn't from the 70s, honey. It was like 3 weeks ago.
It wasn't 3 weeks ago, okay. Dumbass.
Or years. Whatever. Don't be so specific.
I'm going to need a drink. Continue on. We're talking about the nappy-headed black
so that's,
woman,
that's
right?
It for me, entertainment, because I had to pass it off to you on Orange is the New
Black.
Oh,
my God. Katie, how ready are you?
I'm ready.
She's
stretching
ready.
Out like heroin, though. I'm so excited.
Katie June.
This week in sports and other stuff, Michael Sam gets some respect. California Chrome misses the crown.
Oh,
Rafael Nadal wins again. And so does a 91-year-old marathoner. Things are not looking so great in Brazil. Amy Van Dyken has some bad news. Yeah. Today in sports history, spikes for the homeless and tea party.
Balderdash.
In sports. So I have a lot of stuff, so we'll just kind of
continue
blow through
on.
Here.
We got plenty of time. We have actually more than an hour.
I wonder if Al has if is willing to share like a smidgen of his wine. But, you know, that's just...
Al, we got a wine alert.
I gotta make a drink. You talk.
So maybe like a smidge. But okay. So Michael Sam. This is actually funny because the first line of this says Michael Sam, Rams teammates.
Oh,
that's actually
like
not
that.
What this
actually,
means.
But that's cute.
But it is.
I
it's
love
good.
That
it says,
play
Michael Sam, Rams teammates, respect me as a human being and as a football player. So I'm happy to report that all is well in St. Louis.
Good.
And Michael Sam is feeling very confident that he'll be judged on his performance only. Of course, he's the first openly gay player drafted into the NFL. He says there have been no issues fitting in. His teammates are great. There's no awkward moments in the locker room, and he was accepted right away. They respect me as a human being, as a football player. He says he's kind of a cut up. Apparently, he's like a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
A funny gay guy? No.
I know. Surprising. Yeah. And he also is not sensitive, right? So any jokes that may be made behind the scenes or in the locker room or things that guys might say at a turn, like, he's not a sensitive guy, which you would imagine, right? Thank you, Al. Mm-hmm. That's very nice of you. That he's not... Anyway, so he's cool with it. He says, and what do the other wide receivers says? If anyone had any reservations about who he was to begin with, he wins them over pretty quick.
Good.
They're laughing so hard they can't breathe. Totally funny. Anyway, yeah. Everyone goes on and on. So, really great. Like,
no, a name on this one.
Michael Sam.
Oh, gotcha.
This back is all board. Michael Sam.
I wasn't sure if you're basketballer, if we were talking about Jason, whatever his name is. Or
nope.
Jason Collins.
Yep. Nope. Yeah. So, anyway, just good news to report that after all the hullabaloo and how dare he kiss on TV and suck it, he's doing very well.
He can do both with me. I'm fine.
Yes. Fuck it and suck it.
Yeah.
With Al T. Perkins.
However you got to get there.
Cocksucker.
Yeah. God Swiffer.
Balderdash.
Yes.
In the butt.
Yes,
so, in the butt, Bob.
Clayton is literally in the facilities yelling in the butt, Bob. That's great. So we've got some sad news. Not really for anyone except the California Chrome owners. California Chrome failed to win the Belmont Stakes. He won, of course, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, but he couldn't clinch that Triple Crown, which we talked about hadn't been done since 1978.
So affirmed, I remember.
78?
Yeah.
Yep.
1976. Right, that's Secretariat, though, right?
No, Secretariat's 72 or 73.
Yeah,
there was one in between too. The year before was somebody before affirmed.
Now, are you gonna bring up in regards to the fact that
poor sportsmanship?
Not just that. And I realize that was an issue, but the fact that the rules are a little odd in regards to you don't have to run in the other two to get to
weird.
This because there are, and like they were saying, somebody said on CNN or the Today Show or whatever the hell it was that was on, horses aren't bred these days to run a mile and a fucking half,
right?
They're not. So somebody, and though what he said, it was unsportsmanlike conduct, and I get all that, but somebody just came in and slipped in a horse that was able to do that or pull it off amidst other horses who've run all three.
Right.
Sure. Right. And that's
it's up for discussion now. They're talking about the fact that needs to be reevaluated.
Well,
and I think that's fair.
I get what he's saying, but at the same time, like, one doesn't, you don't have to do one to do the other.
Which
it's like
weird.
If you want to do the other ones and qualify for the Triple Crown.
Because you know if you win the Belmont and you didn't run the other two, you're never going to be a Triple Crown winner.
You're like, done.
If your horse can't make the first part,
right.
You have no chance. So then they have to, so you would have to train the horse to run, because the Belmont's longer, right?
The Belmont's
a mile
the
and
longest.
A half.
The longest, yeah.
It's a mile
quite
and a half.
A bit longer than the others.
So it's a different, it's like a track athlete or anything else.
Sure.
It's a different distance, it's a different discipline.
Right.
And there's not that many
it's
horses
being a sprinter, that are
well,
perhaps it's Bruce, versus like a long
distance
Bruce
runner. Jenner can do the decathlon where, well, not,
to put it
she
in,
can't anymore.
In a, but, part, in a lovely
she
cardigan.
Can.
Absolutely.
With an Adam's apple.
The
context
she doesn't have that anymore.
I put it in from, and because we're here locally and we understand if you're not from Phoenix, I understand. I'm sorry, but you figure this out. If you run from Central and Camelback to Central and Osborne, that is the length of the Belmont Stakes. That's a mile and a half.
Right.
Okay.
And all the rest of them have to do is run from Camelback to Indian School.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
No, I'm just saying.
I know. No, I didn't. But,
help put it into
but
context.
But I agree with what they're saying is you should have, if you run in the first one, you clear that, and you run the second, nobody new gets to come in, and I think that's
okay,
only fair.
Sure. Well,
and the way I'm looking at it,
and then I don't know enough about how they get in and out of. But I think if the nine that start with like a first runner up or a first alternate, however they do it out of beauty pageant world,
however you self identify.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. Like the same nine have to go all three races.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That would seem
sure,
fair
I think
if
that
you're
going to
make
sense.
A big deal
right,
about
because
the Triple Crown.
If you're going to do... Right.
And then sell it as a summer event of all three over six consecutive week or, you know, every other weekend, I think they do it.
Sure. I mean, it makes sense. I actually thought it was really hysterical. So the guy's name is Pete... Steve Coburn. And what I thought was funny is when he's being interviewed and he's pissed, right?
Oh, he was.
I mean, he was pissed. As I would have been pissed.
Backstory-wise, though... He is not, or the owners of
the Coburns. He's a co-owner.
He's a co-Coburn,
right?
As it were.
Co-Coburn.
So the they're not like the other horse people. Kind of,
they're more simple. Simple,
they're
if
more
you will.
Simple, if you, yeah, right. Like
he's like a southern guy who like made some money in tobacco and bought a horse.
They right, because they don't do this for a living with horses.
It's a fluke. This all happened. They bought into a horse. They made well. It all went good. And then at the end of it, he's looking at the establishment and being like, "Wait a minute." We ran all the other races and made it here. Guy shows up and just...
And you think of exhaustion levels, too. Like, I don't know how tired is the horse. Like,
oh, fuck.
You're running, you know, all these races.
Well, and they're practicing.
I can't run from here to the end of the end of the
Chamisal driveway. Gets its juju back with the Chardonnay that brought me there in the first place. The Viognier last week
still
was iffy.
Still not as good as 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Chincon
that
from
was
Tally.
Just so
we
good.
Have to say that if you're going to the Central Coast, Tally is still the best vineyard.
It really is.
By far and away.
But I will say the best part about it is if you actually watch the video, like the playback video, and he's talking to the interviewer and his wife in the background.
Oh, she's
is yeah. awesome. Because she leans up and she's like, "Now, honey." And he goes, "God damn it, woman, shut up." Like,
he does.
I did not see that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he turns around and he's like, "Shut up, woman." And he turns back and he's like,
Not only is chivalry dead, he's expecting her to press all of his shirts that day.
I mean, like, it was just done. Literally the best part because he's just going off.
Yeah.
He's very clearly very upset.
If you have an opinion, get your own horse.
And in his defense, it is not the time or the place for anyone, husband or wife or friend, to say, now. Your horse just fucking lost. Right. Like, you just lost a gangbuster load of money and you're pissed.
Yeah. No, in fairness, they still made some.
A lot of money.
Because he came in fourth and then the horse.
Second.
And
they still won the
No, I don't think they came in second.
Fourth. It was fourth.
They tied
for fourth.
Yeah, it was a photo finish for fourth. Yeah, but the horse was hurt too.
The fact remains that they still won money, and it was great. But it's just so funny that he got his like big fat old like a homely looking wife. Now, Steve.
Calm down, honey. Calm down.
So great.
You can take the cunt girl out of the country.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now we go live.
So pretty funny. So additionally, the French Open was happening as well. Now, I'm not a tennis person at all. So
we have two friends that want to do the Grand Slam tour. Like, they're big dreams.
I've been to Denny's.
Buddy, exactly. Buddy and Doug Wilkie, their lifetime dream is to do the four opens. Three opens
so
and the Wimbledon.
They would appreciate this news more than
wasn't
I.
Wasn't it just played on the clay court?
On clay.
That's what I thought.
Rafael Nadal wins the record ninth French Open title. Oh, yeah. And he is now dubbed the king of the clay.
Yeah, he's kidding.
He beat Novak Djokovic. Maybe.
Good luck. Was he European?
Maybe.
I'm thinking.
Balderdash.
Yes.
Does it mean no worries the rest of my days?
Kinda.
Sorry.
Kinda.
Yes, Al. That is really fun.
It means no worries.
He was a really good sport about it all and just said that the whole game was unforgettable. He really, he beat a couple of really great guys that he respected and looked up to and said, you know, this is really a dream for me. So anyway, the king of the clay, Rafael Nadal, and he's cute.
Hot. Tennis players are
so
hot.
So the World Cup is coming up and I'm actually really excited.
Where is that being held?
Where is that Brazilian World Cup being held? Anyone?
Strangely hairless.
2014 Brazilian World Cup.
If only there was a way to look up Brazilian World Cup.
Oh, and then
wait a minute. There's a key word. World Cup. That's the key words. World Cup. Look that up first.
2014.
It's happening somewhere in the world this year.
They're not prepared at all.
God, if you guys could just find it.
They're not prepared at all. I think we have talked about before. Well,
we have talked about
that
before.
I'm excited for the World Cup, and I hope y'all like watch. I'm sure everyone will like try to catch in. I'm not a crazy fan.
I'll just Google hot guys from the World Cup. That's all I give a shit about.
But I, one of the exciting things, one of the positive things, aside from an STD test that came out of my Nantucket trip, was
Wow, that's funny.
Balderdash. You guys just said that one was gone, and here she goes.
Yep.
Just put that right back in there.
Yep.
I'm laughing at two things. What he said and what you said.
We watched the World Cup. There are people from around the world visiting the island, and I worked specifically with people from a number of different countries. So when it came on, it was like everyone was engaged, and it was really, really, really fun to watch and be a part of. I actually heard a little bit today about it. The U.S. is playing, so they have these different groups, right? And that's how they start, because it's every like country in the world that plays soccer, football, excuse me.
And so it literally is every country.
Every country, because every country can play. And they call each year there's a group that they call the group of death, and it's like the hardest group. And they say that it's like classified as the absolute hardest group. Well, this year, all of the American fans are saying that America's in the group of death. We play with Ghana, Portugal, and Germany. And they're saying this is the group of death because Germany has won the World Cup a number of times.
Yeah.
And for the U.S. to get past Germany is just going to be.
I was in France in 06 when they won, and it was a very, very sad country.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that it's just really, really.
Let me make sure that there was another drinking experience, right?
There was another British person who said the World Cup, something, something, something. I'll fuck it up. So I already did. So I can't remember. But it was a funny quote about Germany always kind of winning. And so they're calling this the group of death. The commentator I heard called this actually the terminal illness group because it's not quite as bad as the group of death, which has England and Spain and Brazil and like another country, like some really, really heavy hitters. Anyway, point is, it should be very exciting. I'm actually really looking forward to watching it.
I'm going to tell you right now that I am already on board because I have seen about seven people, seven boys that
are
playing.
They're beautiful. Come on. Soccer players are gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Italy and France. My bad. It was Italy.
Who cares?
But Italy, I just knew that because we were, I tell that story all the time, that they were showing it on Renee's wall, on his outside wall, because he lived above a cafe.
Mm. Right, I remember
telling
me that.
But we weren't watching it. So we were just listening to the screams and the cheers and trying to figure out if we were winning or losing and trying to like lean out the window to find out. And then we knew at the end, like, oh, they lost.
Yeah, boo.
We could tell that.
Silence!
Got quiet. Yeah. But what's really a bummer is, and again, I know we've discussed that. The Brazilian people are just being treated like shit. No. You know, they're literally.
And it's not going to get better with the Olympics, kids.
It's going to get much worse. And they're literally being run out of their homes.
Ripped on the news about it.
Because, for example,
the same thing like that happened in China. I mean, like craziness stuff. Do you remember that?
It's worse than what's happening with Sochi because they, sadly, as poorly together as Sochi was for the Summer Olympics.
Brazil's way behind.
They got
and
nothing.
You know what? It may have been what happened in China, but I, for one, I can just say I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, to the news surrounding
it. Prettier. They're so much prettier.
Brazil.
For me,
you're not going to be able to see most of the people, ones that you would like because they're being.
But these folks
out.
Are literally, and it's
I'm
and
go.
I equate it like this, right?
Go.
So when the Super Bowl came to the Valley, and there was an opportunity for. Anyone, any homeowner, anywhere, essentially in the Valley, to rent their home out.
Yes, and they did.
And they did.
And
the Super Bowl's coming back, and Kelly and I have talked about doing it for this next go around. Mm-hmm. And so I equate it to that, except for it's not voluntary. You're just being, it would be like if someone came to your home and said, there's people that want to stay here for the Super Bowl. Get the fuck out.
You don't live here this week.
You don't live here.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
that's what they're doing. They're literally kicking people out of their homes, dwellings, apartments, all of the above, so that they can clean up the quote unquote riffraff and get all the people out and make room for.
I have an extra room. Can I get any of the riffraff to come
yes,
here?
Yes, I know.
Because I'm pretty sure I would like some of the riffraff.
Brazil. I'll take Brazilian riffraff for $500.
Yeah.
I'll take it for free.
Yeah. And it actually is so sad that these people
Balderdash.
Are. And additionally, there's so much like drug and violent culture in this area, which exists in every city, but not. Our Phoenix, and presumably not some people's Brazil, some people's Rio, like they don't see
and
that.
I'll quote it again. The last week with John Oliver,
that was wild.
He has been brilliant. Like he's explained, like so many every week. I feel like I learn something more. And this time he takes on FIFA, and he gives a whole explanation of like FIFA is the most corrupt organization in the world.
The money,
but because. Ugh. The entire world
pays into
is nuts about, they call it religion. Like, it's a religion.
And it is.
And they get away with all these atrocities, but no one can do it because everyone's like, but you're going to bring a soccer. So you killed 30,000 people. Is there still going to be a soccer match at the end?
Yeah.
Then we're good.
It's really sad.
Is there going to be an uncut soccer match at the end?
They're all uncut.
Yeah, they're European.
I'm going to write that down.
And, there's always been a big thing with the World Cup about sex.
No.
Do you have something with
no.
that?
No.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Keep writing.
Well, for the Americans.
Oh, Americanos.
It says normal sex, no acrobatics, the variety of sexual restrictions placed on World Cup players.
Restrictions?
Oh, they tell you. Mexico players are banned from having sex.
We're not talking S&M. We're just talking like just
sex.
Things you can't do, not things that
you. How about if only I come? Does that count?
Yeah,
that's just selfish.
Is that just Saturday?
That is selfish.
It is, but I'm done. let me think about my regret levels. Well, I finished.
That's funny.
Do what you got to do, sir.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the sex trade gets... Well, and the illegal sex trade.
No, they have a
this
really
is getting
big
better.
And that may be part of it.
No, their restrictions, like Mexico is no sex at all. Like,
at all.
Oh, the player. Oh, you're talking about the players. Oh, I'm thinking about the sex trade, which I'm sure
is
huge.
Booming. Booyah. And that they're probably like, absolutely, fuck Balderdash. Go ahead.
And Balderdash is from Romania. He's a lovely player.
It's a Romanian Balderdash.
And Balderdash goes down the field. They score!
Actually, it's baller and dash.
But yeah, baller and dash.
Sounds like a law group, but it's not.
That I was going to talk about here is that there are subway workers are striking in Brazil right now. The police are crashing with the subway workers, and it's really, really bad. Subways are shutting down. And like,
I haven't heard this.
This is the
I'm seeing it as it brings this.
The video or the pictures.
They set subways on fire.
There are like fiery clashes and fiery riots.
That's
and
not
like,
the same as that not having sex. Part.
People are no
fiery clashes.
That could be why. Maybe that's why.
If you let them get laid,
but there are people showing up there soon. Yeah. And I was actually at an event this Sunday for work next to a British man, sitting next to a British man who's going out there for this. And I likely won't ever run into him again. But it would be so curious. To find out from him, we will find out on the internet, on the interwebs, what people's experience are. But I think it will be very Sochi-esque. There's going to be hashtag Brazil problems.
Don't think NBC News is going to be, and seeing everybody's going to be crawling up their ass to figure out everything.
Do you think that they're
going to
send Bob Costas with some medicine this time, though?
He's good. He's good now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they spend Miguel Armiguer because I like that boy.
I Google it every day.
Do you really?
Yes, and
that's
I can't
more than
ever
I Google
find
it.
New news. I love him
Miguel
so much.
Miguel Armiguer. I am.
You're using a metaphor. She's actually Googling.
But I don't. I've never Googled that. But I think Miguel Armiguer. I am on board.
It's awesome. Yes.
I think he's
so hot, and it's really bizarre that
I'm going to Google it right now.
I literally think he's so gorgeous, and like I want him to be gay. Like I really just want him to be like a beautiful, beautiful gay man.
Miguel Armiguer. Yes.
He's gorgeous.
I'm
on board.
The no sex thing has the issues of sex comes up. Players having sex every 4 years.
Every 4 years?
That's it. Just four
the
years.
World Cup is only up every 4 years.
Oh my God, I thought those poor boys could only have sex every 4 years. I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine that one night?
You gotta change the curtains. It's been 4 years.
I
would just level the house.
The Klinsmann is.
We're gonna need a bigger hand towel.
Is our coach.
Yes, we are.
And the Mexico manager, Miguel Herrera, announced in late May he won't let his players have sex throughout the tournament. If a player can't go 1 month or 20 days without having sexual relations, then they're not prepared to be a professional player.
Can they rub one off?
Wait a minute. Hold on. 40 days of sexual abstinence isn't going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Discuss.
That's how you get fires in the subway.
Right,
literally.
Right. And then it says Herrera isn't alone. Bosnia Herzegovina manager.
I just like the name of the
country.
Me
too.
He won't allow his players to have sex, but he added that his players can find another solution. They can even masturbate if they want. Well, how nice.
Does Jesus count as a person?
Look, they don't want to take their minds off the game, and I don't think that that's totally inappropriate. Like, look, you're here to play the fucking World Cup. Don't go get hookers. Like, right?
Yeah,
is
don't come
bad?
Down to burning case
unless
of
they
clap.
Can. Unless they can play. I mean, if the hookers can play and join
totally.
The team,
she's my trainer.
Yeah,
she's my trainer.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's a coaching decision. It's a coaching style to say, look, here's the deal.
Absolutely, they put it.
But
on
I would just recommend
they can wrap it up. masturbate for fucking 20 days.
The French put limits and they survey the players. They say it depends on when and how much, which is kind of awkward. Like, how do you learn that ahead of time? Well, like, we're in the moment and you're like, I got to call my coach. But here's a... His name is Diddle the Champs, something, I don't know.
Chastity Sambulus? What?
At the bottom, Diddler the Champs.
Didier Deschamps.
Oh my God, the
well,
yes.
I think it sounds the same.
Didier Deschamps, she's like, it's Diddler
well,
the Champs.
They play sure Scrabble, the they got thing. A lot of extra letters in their names.
I'm pretty sure it's the same
That's
thing.
Funny.
Diddle the Champs, something like
Diddle
that.
Diddle the Champs, but not till after.
Well, not That's during what the World I wondered. Cup. We diddle the champs because then they won.
But don't you think so? Like, I get it. Like, you're going here to play soccer. You're not going to, like, meet hookers.
Well, it's the same with the Olympics.
They all do it.
Because you're surrounded by a bunch of hot, hot
this
hotties.
This is my favorite argument for this whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, you're hot, you're horny, you're peak physical shape.
Peak physical shape!
So's the person walking next to you.
Clayton, why are you not going to the World Cup in Brazil?
Let me stick
They don't like middle-aged, fat, white men.
Yes, they do.
They could learn.
I couldn't handle it.
Okay, yes.
I couldn't handle the truth.
Part two, they have liquor.
For them.
Clayton,
I want to go to Brazil so fucking bad.
I think you would score. I really think you would like super score.
I am still trying to figure out if Miguel Armaguirre is gay.
Yeah.
So anyways, that last part,
I thought, that's why I actually got the article.
So for movies on this topic, for a Mexican movie with...
telenovelas?
Oh my God, what the hell is my favorite
actor? Write that down.
Garcia Bernal. Gael Garcia Bernal and the other guy from Ichi Mama Tambien. It's called Rudy Icursi. Rudy Icursi. They're two young guys that manage to work their way into the Mexican soccer team, and then they make it to the World Cup. It's so sexy. It's so good. It's called Rudy Icursi. Rudy. It's really good. And then Invictus is about South Africa with Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
When they do
soccer.
The World Cup. And that's all about the World Cup Football. And getting South Africa to the World Cup and how they did that. So two really good soccer movies.
Yeah, that one's really good.
How can I find this?
And then there's one with like ladybugs in it. What was that one? It's a little girl movie.
Oh, Ben, like Beckham. Jonathan Brandis.
Yes,
Roddy Dangerfield.
What's it called?
Ladybugs, I think that's what it was called.
I watched that.
But watch it, Bend It Like Beckham, because everyone in that movie became famous after that movie.
Yeah,
that's on my list of movies that no one saw, but clearly people who cast movies saw.
It was cute.
So cute.
So here's some actually really scary, but not totally sad, relatively hopeful news, just because she's such a good sport and great person.
And in great physical shape.
So Amy Van Dyken, do you remember her name?
Yep.
Amy Van Dyken
Hard
is a six-time Olympic gold medalist swimmer. She's from Arizona.
Yes, yeah. I heard about
this weekend.
She
lives in Scottsdale, right? So she had an ATV accident over the weekend and told emergency movers that she could, or emergency workers rather, that she could not move her toes or feel anything touching her legs.
It's not good.
41-year-old swimmer happened on Friday. She is married. She was airlifted to a hospital in Scottsdale. And they stabilized her spine. So what they actually said is that her
spine, they did surgery.
She actually 100% like fully severed her spinal cord.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how you do that.
And it almost hit her aorta.
She's ATVing. They've already determined.
Don't do it.
They've already determined that there was no drugs or alcohol. Right. Like, there was no cause of impairment.
It doesn't mean it's so dangerous.
Right.
Well, that's where this came from. My whole split in my forehead.
Yeah.
I don't think that was from an ATV accident.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
Well, she hit a curb. I don't know where they were out somewhere.
Parking lot. It was some parking lot, but it doesn't say where.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't even like out in the outback. If you
but it was like 5 to 7 feet.
But it was somewhere like, so. Where there were big trees and like hills. Mm-hmm. But she hit a curb. Like, you could invisibly see, like,
she
a curb.
She was in Xolo. She wasn't down here. She was
up
in Xolo.
There's that place way out west where everybody goes and brings their, like...
Glamis. That wasn't it. The Dunes. Glamis. That wasn't it.
Yeah, but that's another place where they go...
I know people who have gotten severely injured out there.
I mean,
children killed. Like, it's bad.
It's bad.
Of,
oh, God.
Everyone I knew in high school went to Glamis.
That's where I assumed it happened.
No, she was in a parking lot.
Yeah, but she was somewhere more north with trees and whatever else. So anyway, she hits the curb, flies off the thing and goes rolling over and just so sad and scary.
It really is terrible.
But they did say that she had, several tore her spinal cord at the T11.
which is like right you know, here. Thoracic, middle of,
that's,
yeah.
That's thoracic. The thoracic 11. So
like middle of your back, right? Maybe yeah. a yeah. little bit lower.
Broken vertebrae came within millimeters of rupturing her aorta. She awoke out of surgery, and she was acting like her typical spunky, boisterous
non-feet-moving self.
Until she couldn't realize that she couldn't.
Well, this is after surgery, so they she was aware, perhaps, that's of what bad. Happened.
Why can't I?
But she really was, like, one of the spunkiest of them. And Dara Torres.
Oh, yeah.
Who this last Olympics was like the oldest swimmer. Yeah. And she just was the peppiest. And she has like all the little freckles. Like when you see her, she's so cute.
And she was a fun part of that whole Call Me Maybe video underwater.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's fantastic. Well,
she's like perpetually perky. Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, because she competed in 12 in the Summer Olympics.
No. No. Mm. Dara Torres did.
Oh, but not Amy.
No, Amy Van Dyken was done in 2000.
Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong girl.
Yeah.
I have the
Australia
wrong
was her last games.
Oh, I'm totally thinking of the wrong girl. Yeah. I know she is, but I have the wrong person.
She just has like the freckles and she's like, oh my God. And she just is.
I gotta,
phenomenal.
Here, yeah, really cute. Here. So we'll all just like send some good vibes her way and hope that everything goes well. She married a former NFL Denver Broncos punter. And so anyway, she's got her family and her friends all here, so everyone's giving her a lot of good vibes.
Now, where did you said it, but I'm not sure. You said she was where when this accident happened?
In Sholo.
Sholo. Up in, okay, got it. Yeah. Up north.
She lives in Arizona. So
no,
she,
I knew that, but I heard.
And she swam for
U of A.
Okay, got it. But I remember hearing this over the weekend that happened. And at first I was lost because I just got like one of those headline updates on the phone that said blah, blah, blah.
She'll totally be that person, though, that like whatever she comes out of this, she's going to be like a new poster child for X. Yep. Whether it's like...
Well, it's going to be ATV banning is what it's going
to
be.
Relearning how to walk or being in a wheelchair forever. Again, like she's just the person that's going to be... positive and come out and like make her life great no matter what.
People wonder where I like to stay home.
Here in
like
Arizona.
She's done a lot of like TV news interviews and newscasts. And
she's another one that's going to be an advocate for it doesn't matter what you're doing, wear a fucking seatbelt. Like things just go wrong.
And I don't believe that she had a helmet on. And I don't know that it would have done a thing.
No, because you're in your T11's way far away from the helmet. Yeah,
but I know, but that's what people are promoting. She didn't have a helmet on. She didn't have a helmet. Okay.
But
when you get jammed off of an ATV, and what would have
the brain bucket's
would it
not going to do anything?
Though, if you would have been wearing a seatbelt, like what then?
I think it would have been rolled on you because you're locked to it,
and then that would have been horrible. Also,
no. And now you're just now you don't have a back because it's over there.
Yeah. I mean it's six and one half dozen of the other. But I just put a seatbelt on.
And I go with your argument. I understand, but it's just...
Oh, I see where you're going with this, Katie. Go.
Moving forward quickly.
This is other stuff.
Other stuff. So, it's rough going in China and actually London if you're homeless. There's been a new solution to people sleeping in the streets.
Solution. Under, I like your word.
Well, I don't know if it's the right solution, but it is a solution for some people. People that are sleeping under bridges and begging in a lot of the places that that homeless people have been congregating. They have created these spikes. And they're made out of, cement spikes. They're 20 centimeters high and it looks like they're just made. Here's the picture. And folks who can't see it clearly that are listening or watching.
People, if you work that right, you can make that into a pillow.
They're very clearly like, and you know what the saddest part is? These bitches are probably being made in like Chinese labor camps.
Right.
You know, where they're like making like clay, like bricks. I watched it on Vice. It's happening in Pakistan. I'm sure it's happening in China.
Hold on, but you have that in the streets, right?
No. That's under a bridge.
Oh, that's London.
But this is what
they're doing. Exactly. That's what we're talking about. Same thing. Same song.
And the
same song.
It's like pigeons.
Right.
For those of you who are of the skater world who do skateboard tricks, the little notches that they are welding to rails and to benches and to things, so skateboarders can no longer use it because they hit the notches and it fucks them up.
Sure.
These are the same things. These are spikes so that not only, like you just said, like birds or pigeons no longer roost there. These or just like here in town, when you see the benches for the buses that have the rails in the middle, it's so that people can't lay fully down.
Okay.
Same thing.
I never paid attention to them.
So that's what these are.
These
are spikes put under bridges so that people can't just lay down and go to sleep.
I feel like I could make a nice, comfortable bed out of that space. I think yours with the actual spikes is too hard.
Well, and they, so I've got those pictures too. They're doing them like in little doorways and little corners, and that's London. Those spikes are London. The bigger cement ones are China. And
I got to tell you, though, the San Francisco problem is really out of control.
Like, but do you think that it's a problem with homelessness or that people are going there and choosing to live in
because
that
of
way
the weather?
Because it's San Francisco?
No.
Oh, it's a little.
Maybe a mix. Downtown Tempe, when you have like young people with dogs and they're playing guitars, like, shut the fuck up and get an apartment. Right. Like, just
I go half and half on San Francisco, that it's half like people knowing
it's
that the weather's
to be that way.
The weather's temperate all year round, so yes, it's the right place to be.
I live
homeless.
In Haight Ashbury.
Find your way there because you're not going to be freezing. You're not going to be sweltering. Sure. And on the other hand, it's like, well, I came to San Francisco with no money, and living on the street and panhandling is kind of an okay option. Right. I think it's like 70-30, either way, like sometimes you go to San Francisco, you're like, one more fucking homeless person touches me.
Right. And smelly, crack
using on this. Actually, I'm like that with everyone because people just kind of come out of the woodwork there.
But also, like, you know, Stacey J. Cavalier.
Stacey J. Cavalier
posted this. This is where I saw this on Facebook actually today. And he was saying, is this really the way we're going to deal with, like, actual human beings?
Passive aggressive. Don't deal with the problem.
Yeah.
Just make obstacles.
Yeah, there's a big problem with homelessness, but let's not handle it. Let's just put spikes up in places where they might lay down.
And that would be my point to, what do we do, taking it to America? Like, how do we fix the homeless problem here in America? Because it's rampant in some cities, like San Francisco, that's the second biggest tourist attraction. First, the Golden Gate Bridge, and then it's like the homeless. Like, it's a force to be reckoned with. How do we fix this problem and get these people off the streets and stopping? I mean, it's just...
I don't know.
You can't walk 3 feet in San Francisco without someone asking
Dollar. Kelly's watched people on the street corner barf, homeless people puke in front of her, shit on the sidewalk while she's walking to work.
Well,
like, it's
that.
Just, like, not
but
cute.
That was similar to how it was in Denver for me. And so many people that had
and that's
said,
not temperate.
No.
That's the thing about Denver.
But so many people, I made a comment on Facebook in regards to, I was really kind of taken aback to how many beggars or homeless people there were on the street. And they said that because this time of the year,
it's nice,
it's
there.
Lovely, it's great weather, they can be there and do that. Plus, I was downtown. They said that if I wasn't in that downtown central corridor, it wouldn't be the same.
Well, you know, the suburbs have already figured out how to keep those people out. You know what I mean?
Suburbs.
They just had the big thing where, like, there will be no, like, the goal for the veterans is that there will be no more
homeless
veterans. Like, if you're homeless and
they're
a veteran,
on a 90-day waiting list to get that.
Yeah, exactly. Report, and I can remember, like, report to XX or X place. We will fix the veteran part of this. Like, that will no longer be a problem. You come to us, tell us your story, we'll fix that problem.
You're not going to get a medical appointment.
Right,
we'll get
exactly.
to the house.
And,
working on that.
We're just going to tap on that for a second, but not in the dirty way that he wants to do in Brazil.
I didn't want to tap on that, though.
My thing was, and they just finally mentioned it today on the news, open up. Why make them go to the VA? My drive to work is 4.1 miles.
Right. Lots of doctors between that.
I pass three hospitals on my way to a hospital.
Sure.
Open it up.
Restaurant.
If you're on a
waiting
list. Oh, we gave that up a little long time ago. But if you're on a waiting list for a doctor, then just go down the street. Because you know what? When your patients get really sick at the VA, you know what they do? They ship them
to
over
a doctor.
To another hospital.
That's right.
Because they do. And my friend who works at the VA said that they just don't have the equipment to handle a lot of things. They have to ship them out.
All the hospitals do it. You call and you're like, this is not in our scope. This is sicker than we can deal with.
You need a specialist.
Well, yeah. During that whole flu thing, that's when everyone was calling you guys.
Right. Because we do a specialty that helps that. Like, but if you have if you're dealing with a head trauma, especially, and this is what kills me is because the IEDs and all that stuff causes a lot of head traumas. Mm. The fucking St. Joe's is right there. That's
the neurological.
Neurological Institute is not even a fucking block away. If you're overwhelmed, make a left.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm not saying that the hospital that I work at is the answer to all things.
Sure. But someone else is.
But between where I work and where they're waiting is Barrow's Neurological Institute.
Yeah.
They're good at one thing, you're suffering from that one thing.
And what a sad thing that, you know, you're talking about, like, massive
spread it out.
Head injuries. These people got a massive head injury from serving in war. Like,
so don't make them
really
wait in a waiting
sad.
List when you can see the other fucking hospital. You can see
from
it.
From the rear
you
rooftop.
You can literally see the other hospital from where you're standing.
Right.
Just go over there. There's no waiting list anymore.
Yep.
And everybody's hurting for patients. Like, there's so many hospitals down here that there are times of the year that everyone is like, we need patients. So to find out that there's 50,000 people on a list, when we're like, we're kind of waiting for a patient to come in.
That always happens in the summer out here because it's so hot. People who are the snowbirds leave and they go somewhere else. And we like, you've told me this 100 times. You're kind of barren in the summer.
In the summer, there's not a lot.
Nobody's there.
There's not a lot going on in hospitals. You should not have a waiting list when there's three major medical centers within a block
5 miles.
St. Joe's, St. Luke's.
It's not even.
Yeah.
It's a 4.1 mile drive with turns, and I pass.
And he stops and gets coffee.
Right, exactly.
So
it makes me nuts. And that's the whole thing of Obamacare. Like, open it up to all of us. Yep. Don't make them wait.
And isn't that what they just passed? That's like, you can go anywhere?
That's what I said. They finally brought it up today because a resident that I work with is like, oh, I've been at the VA for a while. I'm like, oh, do you have to fight through CNN cameras to get in? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, and I said to him, I'm like, you work here, you work there, just bring them over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get the waiting list and be like, we got 8 beds.
Yeah. Sure. So one more quick thing.
Go, go, go.
Many nonagenarians.
90-year-olds?
Yep. They're happy if they can still tie their shoes, but Harriet Thompson
is fucking that guy in her story.
Yeah, he laced hers up as she smoked the competition in the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon on Sunday. Harriet Thompson.
No one else was in it.
This woman is 91 years old. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. She flew literally all the way across the country and to finish the 26.2 mile course in 7 hours, 7 minutes, and 42 seconds. Now, I have to say,
that's like 12 hours faster than me.
I have to say, I literally, that's like about 4 days faster. Well, I ran a half marathon, so that's half like of that distance.
7 hours more.
In like 4 fucking hours. So this bitch is smoking people. And now I would not to say
Boulder
I was in
dash.
I was not in shape nor had I trained. My point is that I ran it at like 20 something.
Now what I would ask is something this one has brought up many many a times in regards to Linda Ronstadt. Did she have a trick pussy?
Yeah.
Is she like that? Is she that good?
She has
is
to have
she
a trick
that
pussy.
Goddamn but good.
The best is that she is so great. She made her debut at the age of 76. She snuck in a 5K the weekend prior to this race.
Wow.
But the most amazing, she raised more than $90,000 for Leukemia Lymphoma Society's team in training. And the woman, if you've not seen her photo, she looks
fantastic.
Awesome. This woman is 91 years old.
She looks like me in 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like me every Sunday when I watch the Vikings.
She looks so good.
Just
so
good
anyway,
teeth and
give it up for Harriet Thompson.
Boulder Dash. I got to give it up for her. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
We've got more, but we'll get to it next week in
Sports and other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we have so much coming. What we're going
to
do
we just have to say it because Eric Cantor lost.
But Eric Cantor, Virginia.
Lost his primary.
First time in 113 years, they said, that someone who was the incumbent. Like
in Virginia.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay, well, there's that. We're so much to bring up.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bleed over just a little bit from hour 3 to hour 4. We have our little segment we call Thoughtful Vulgarity coming up. Al's going to lead us off with that in just mere moments. Stick around. We've got to probably less than 30 minutes to go. We swear to God. Or whoever you believe in.
However you self-identify.
However you identify. We'll be back in just mere moments right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It is a little after 10 o'clock Phoenix time. I'm Clayton McKee alongside, well, Katie June stepped out. Marnie Ryer's right there. There's Al Perkins trying to figure out what the big words mean in the book.
Balderdash.
It is the beginning of hour four, we swear to God. At this point, we will not go any longer.
No, we're going
to
wrap this up fast. Yes, gonna, or no,
we'll be done before. We'll be done in 28 minutes. I swear, within 28 minutes, I swear to God, somehow this is going to work out. Holy shit balls, ladies and gentlemen. We have so much to, there's so much to cover. So much going on in the world. There's no way we can cover all of it.
Well, and we're not opinionated, so.
No, there is that.
We just tell like it is and we move on.
That's right. That's right.
There's that. All right. Wait.
I want to answer last week's question before we get into it.
Oh, we have a follow-up from last week's question. We'll let Al take that over. Al, go ahead right now.
So, the faithful listener. So we had a thing about someone making a choice in the first part of a situation that could have been avoided and there was really no issue with, and they made a choice that affected everyone else's day for the rest of the day.
Right.
And then choice.
Shitty thoughts.
Yeah. The second thing that came up was no one's fault, but could have been avoided if they had made the first choice. And then exactly. The third thing was really against them.
Right. Right.
And they really could have been a martyr, but they just took, you know what I mean? So someone at work, someone that I work with that listens to the show but doesn't chime in the chat room, said that if it was such an issue for me that I'm still talking about it all these months later.
Mm-hmm. Months later?
I thought it was that week.
I thought it had happened like the day before.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I just been harboring it for so long. So the person said, if that, then you should have said something at crisis number one. You should have said, uh-uh, bitch. Yeah. We're going back and fixing this problem right now. The answer is in eyesight.
I agree with her.
And that was so...
Because you can't go back and...
Right. So everything afterwards, I just got more and more petty because I didn't speak up when it... before it turned into my issue. And my issue means that I had to help take care of a problem that the answer had been right there. Yeah. And I wasn't asking them to go shop at Walmart or eat at Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean?
Or eat at Chick-fil-A. Right.
Which, I mean, there was no...
May I ask?
There was nothing in part number one that was so morally reprehensible. It was just like, oh, that seems unpleasant.
Okay.
And it was like, it's kind of how the rest of us deal with life.
Right.
So it was just a thing where I needed to say something at the beginning or not be petty.
May
later.
I ask, how far back are we talking?
That was just a while ago.
Give me a guy. Really? That's vague. Give me, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 months?
Oh, it's only been a few months. It has been long enough.
I just
but
was
it was
curious.
One of those things
so
where
you
every,
harbored, the, you harbored
every time,
this?
Every time I thought of this person, I was just like, oh, that's...
You're the fucktard that did this to me.
That's what our friendship's worth. Like, that's... This choice you... And but it wasn't. Certainly this person was not thinking in terms of, like, a long-term plan. They just decided they were offended by something that I was like, okay, all right, I guess that's our new political thought for the day.
Okay.
And then later I wanted to be like, are you fucking kidding me? You know what I mean? It was just weird. So the thing
it's hard to go back and address.
So the thing is the first time someone does something that you think, oh, this is gonna pile shit on for the rest of the day, you have to say no.
Sure, because there's that whole idea of fool me once.
Right. Well, not fool me once, but this thing is going to cut us off at the knees.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Like, there's only one deserted island between us and the next source of life support. I can't help it that, you know, the islanders wear polyester. You know what I mean?
But that
we still have to land on the island.
If the island has beef jerky, we're good.
Yeah. I wonder if that plane is there.
Which one?
That 370?
Oh, no. We can't find that.
Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. In fact, I've heard CNN said nothing. They've cleared their decks of that, so they're not searching for that at all.
Every now and again.
I'm still looking for Miguel Armaguer, if he's gay or not.
It's weird that it's so hard to find out.
I've been searching
really
since we brought it up.
It's really hard to find.
I'm on board. We are in the... We're 3 hours and 5 minutes. We're going to start this segment we call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Marnie Ryer. Is that her name? Did I get it right?
It seems like.
All right. I made all the right noises with my mouth.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I am who I am.
What are your two most compulsive habits?
Wow. Where'd this come from?
Book of Questions.
Oh.
The new and revised edition.
I have to pee. Go ahead.
Compulsive habit number one.
Also, Balderdash. Biting my nails.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you do that. You're right.
Biting my nails. Huge. It's awful, and I hate it. And
So if you hate it and you're consciously aware of it, why does it not stop?
That habit part of it. Like I've stopped before. I've done the whole like
the paint your nails a certain flavor.
Doesn't matter.
All that
doesn't matter.
Whatever, okay.
Something since I'm like 4 or 5 years old, I've done that, and they say that that's actually a huge trait of OCD, which I think is weird. Yeah, because it's
unfair.
Unfair, but I mean, because it's so uneven and it's so, but that's part of making it even.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say there's that, and part of my time issue has to do with that, because everything has to be straightened. I don't do the whole like go back to check things. You know how you've heard of that with OCD kind of stuff, where people like they get down the road and they're like, oh, I have to go back because I
don't shut the iron off.
Yeah, right, I don't iron, so I'm comfortable there.
That is what gets me out of the iron off thing.
That's good.
That's the answer.
I was like a garage store freak for a while. Like I closed the garage door, but garage door. I used to be a fanatic about today, but I have a carport now. So
I stretch the wrinkles out of all my clothes. I just put them on.
They're like, look at that.
Look at that. Oh, it's fantastic.
Not a wrinkle left.
No, except for like here, but I don't want to talk to that guy about that. He likes those wrinkles. I don't know. The kind of going back and just having to make sure, not going back, but making sure that everything, is that where it is? And like nothing can be out of place. Like I can't leave my house without, if there's a blanket that's there, like it has to be folded.
Oh,
yeah. Big time. Like everything has to be put away and in its place before I can even leave the house. So there's no like, oh my God, I'm going to be late. I'm going now.
I have to do these 37 things.
Oh my God.
That makes it exactly the same way.
I am the same way.
I just have to.
You are? I didn't think you were that way.
It's totally freakish. Like, and it actually happened today. I had to be at a doctor's appointment and I needed to leave right now. Yeah. But I was like, I have to get these fucking dishes. Like, I can't. Like leave these dishes in the sink. Like there were a couple of dishes from I had just made our appointment was at 1:00, so we had to leave at 12:30. So it was like just after lunchtime. So it was like not bizarre that I had some dishes around from lunch, but I had to get them in the dishwasher right now.
Yeah.
And then I ran in to like throw my hair up, and then I went, oh my God, I'm horrible about doing laundry. I do it at really bizarre times like a random load here and there. So I realized I had a load of laundry sitting in the washing machine for 20 minutes and it was going to be moldy.
There's a Clayton Brazil joke like in that random load here and there thing.
Let it go.
I realized it was going to be moldy if I didn't, like it was going to be stinky. Yep. So I had to go, shit. Yep. So while I'm in the middle of like throwing my hair in a ponytail, I run there, put it in the dryer. Then Palmer decided she was going to dump out the blocks right then. And I'm like, I got to pick the blocks up. Yeah. I was 15 minutes late because I had to clean everything.
Before I even leave, like the dogs have their beds.
Blocks on her blankets are laying on the floor. Yeah. And it is like, she just drags everything out everywhere. And I just can't leave the house like that. It makes me feel
fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Cause like I'll have the dog beds and they have all their toys and they have way too many toys, but little will run over and, you know, she's playing with them because that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, thank you.
Right? Palmer's supposed to play with their blocks. But all this stuff is all over, and I'm thinking, before I leave, there's no, like, all of that has to go back onto the bed.
Yeah, totally.
And as long as it's in its right place, then I feel comfortable leaving.
Yeah.
We'd like to welcome you from OCD Talk America.
What's your second one then?
I can't remember what you asked.
Because she was so concentrated on the first one.
Your two most compulsive habits?
Like, I don't know. I know, like, a compulsive habit. Well, one thing I do compulsively that is a little bit freakish is, and it's sort of similar, is I can't handle when my refrigerator is not organized.
Oh my God, I'm so with you.
So that might be something. Wow. Like, I clean
and my pantry.
I clean my refrigerator a couple times a week. Like, I pull everything out and I, like,
all right, if you get bored, come over and clean
Lysol
up mine.
All the, because,
you have
and
nothing,
like,
and you have not that much in your
and
house.
And Kelly doesn't get it because I don't, because like a tomato doesn't go on the top shelf with the drinks. What are you doing?
Tomatoes don't go in the fridge.
And I have to.
You're right.
But, well, after you cut a tomato and you've used it and you put it in a Ziploc baggie, it goes. I put it back in the fridge.
It is where it should go.
Right, but like it doesn't even. I don't like, need even a. Like if you do. Like if we do a. You make food and you put the leftovers in a Tupperware. It doesn't go there. And I get psychotic about it.
Watch me stress her out a little bit. I have three refrigerators at my house.
Oh, yeah.
Because some have to be.
When did you add the third one?
Well, it was out in the laundry room already, just not plugged in. Because
I don't remember that.
Well, I was going to have SRP coming at it. And then we had a party or something. And we needed
it. Got loaded up with stuff.
Yeah, so that's the booze fridge. And then
I've seen that one.
For those
I've
of you who don't know, SRP is one of our power companies in the Valley of the Sun.
Yeah, we have a booze cooler.
SRP.
Yeah.
Well, we had a bunch of coolers.
Right.
So why not have the fridge? Whoops.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
okay, her electric bill is starting to make more and more sense. Yeah.
Oh, you have
but
no idea.
But I don't
idea.
Know. I'm sure I have some other weird things, but that's what at the top.
Well, that's crazy. Go ahead.
Clean.
That crazy.
There's a top line this, which you won't care about at all, Al, because I know how you are.
I'm a type H personality. Like, seriously, you can't get further down in the alphabet than me.
H. H-I-J. I was out there.
Yeah, I was out there.
No.
That's awesome.
Things are like, one that drives me crazy, and having a roommate is that. I expect that everything that I've touched and laid down in place A, when I get back, it'll be in place A.
I won't remember putting it in place B, so it's always me that's to blame.
So you and Aaron are exactly
no,
on
so,
board. And
so like things like, you know, if it's hairspray, if it's a hairbrush, if it's anything, a remote control for a TV, why is it not where I left it? God damn it. So that drives me crazy.
I love that.
Cars, my car.
Oh.
I have a monthly $13 payment to Clean Feet Car Wash so that every goddamn day I can drive my car through that car wash and make sure that there's no bird shit on my car. It's just the car is the color that it came out of the factory ass. So that drives me crazy. I also have we've discussed it. It's just there. I have a vacuum obsession.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, we know that.
And I vacuumed and mopped and bleached and did things today that you don't even want to talk about before I got here.
Oh
my
God,
did things.
Awesome.
And my mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like,
vacuuming, leave me alone.
Today on the show, we're going to have a little bit of mopping. So we
cheerio.
We mopped and we vacuumed and we sucked up all the dirt. It was all fabulous. So those are like things. So it's like, I want everything to be in its same place. And it's still, I'm probably never going to get rid of that.
If I could eliminate me from the equation, I would keep everything where I thought it should be.
Yeah, but you but fucking yourself up is different. If you lived, because I don't live alone, you live alone. If you misplace something and you realize, where the fuck is that remote?
But I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, I haven't gone anywhere in the last 5 minutes. Why can't I find it? It's because I forgot. I went pee and I decided that the remote control might work the toilet. And so I brought it in with me.
But also,
I gotta take this.
But you also have vodka in your house.
But I don't drink at home. Almost never. I don't think I mean
you watch all those episodes of Dexter sober.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? What's
I
wrong
with
you?
I always wonder people know this.
Balderdash!
I don't drink at home alone. Like, if nobody, I've got like 15 bottles of wine in my house from this trip. I've never opened one.
You bring
one.
Them here.
Right.
Okay.
I drink with other people. I don't drink in my house by myself.
But that drives me crazy. Like
that bottle of vodka in my freezer has never been opened because I have not. Well, if somebody comes over, I might have something, but I don't drink it at
all. In about 9 months, 10 months, our 200th episode's coming, so save it up.
When you talk about like the things being placed in a certain, and that's how it is. So when Erin's at the house, like, she'll go to get ready for bed, and she washes her face and does this, and everything's lovely. And then I'll go in to go to the bathroom. And, you know, she's going to bed and I walk in and I think, oh, well, I didn't know that there was a hurricane today. And so then I go through.
There was water everywhere?
Everywhere. Okay. Like, it's just, it's almost like, well, let's not, I don't want to put it on my face. I just want to, let's play. And then, babe, I'm so glad you're asleep right now, but you can get mad at me later.
Listen later.
But I'll go to, you know, then I wash my hands and wash my face and brush my teeth, do this whole thing. And all of a sudden, I go to dry my hands and I'm like,
there's no towel.
Oh no, there's a towel.
It's wet.
It's just wet.
Drenched.
And it's me there, kind of. And I look and I think, is this real? So I'm not upset with her. When I say, is this real? It has nothing to do with what's wrong with her not putting it back right or not doing this.
Yeah.
It's that I have that compulsion that says this needs to be taken care of. So now I have to clean everything up. I'm not mad at her. I don't care.
Right.
But it's the folding of the towel because you fold it and then put it back.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the next morning, Erin walks in and she goes, hey, sleeping with the enemy. You want to come over here?
Oh.
She's right. I mean, she's totally right.
Yeah. All cans are faced the same way.
Oh, yeah. Go and look at my... I'm with you.
The cat... If you go out that door right now, the cat food is all labeled the same way.
I know. I love
the
that.
The cats don't care.
God, I love that.
I found out the cats don't care.
They might, though. They might just be playing hard to get.
They just want to eat.
They might. But
I didn't realize how deeply psychotic the rest of the panel was.
Come on.
No,
I have to tell
but
you,
wait, no,
it has to
wait.
Be. Like, it has to be. Like, I don't get it not being.
We've not come to the
to the truly crazy part of today's show.
The asker of the question.
Yes.
Al.
You know what
your two psychotic issues are?
I've let a lot of them go, but I have found that, like, the CDs, I can't sleep at night. My CDs are not alphabetically organized.
You still have CDs?
Oh, hundreds of them.
We have to. Oh. You know why?
I still have
because
albums.
iTunes lies to you. If it crashes and dies, you lose everything.
Oh, and so you weren't here for that when the first computer got stolen.
Yep.
And they said that, oh, it's all stored in iTunes.
No, nope. It's not!
And I had to reload. It took me a year. Like, they stole another computer, but it took me almost a year to reload.
And then I had to once reload everything, and I had to borrow shit from him.
Oh, no.
This took forever.
It takes forever.
We
to
aged,
load.
Lost hair, and got heavier. Both of us.
I was a part of that, too.
It took me from June of 12 till late in 2013, and I am just in the last few months finally enjoying, like, just hitting random on my iTunes and enjoying all my music.
That's a long time.
I'm all surprised. Like, so I'm like, oh, I've never heard that song before. So yeah, the CDs have to be alphabetized. And then if I'm looking for something, like, because I want my hands on the CD, I want to know who wrote the song.
I don't want to read liner notes and all the
right,
shit.
And that's my other compulsion,
right.
Is I can't buy something on iTunes. I need to physically see who produced each track, who
in
wrote
fairness,
each track, how long they are.
Some can be, but there are things that, and I agree with him. I'm the same way. I can't buy it. If Culture Club comes out with a new album, if George Michael, I can't.
No, I have to buy it physically.
I have to read through it. I'm the same way.
I need to know who wrote every track, who produced every track, who's related to who. And now that Google's, it's so much easier.
What's the meaning behind it?
My car only has a CD player. I don't have the little, you can plug in something as well.
Yeah, because it's before 96.
Yeah, my car.
Oh, you know what mine does?
2005.
Mine does.
I'm sorry, 2006.
Mine has a jukebox, so I can load in hundreds of CDs, and you just hit record. And so my car has its own iTunes thing.
His car has a jukebox with four wheels.
That's
is really
so
what that
cool.
is. It's like a Wurlitzer with the steering wheel.
So, like, let's say my plugins aren't working. I just hit jukebox, and my car has hundreds of songs ready.
That is so
that are just
cool.
recorded.
Wow.
Now the car only has 17 miles.
It used to
on
only
it.
Be available in Cadillac, and then Ford got it, and that's why I bought a Ford.
Well, it needs to come out in Subaru. I'm a good lesbian.
You're not going to buy a new car. You have student debt.
Oh, well, I just get a new car. By the way, whatever this poutine thing is, I got to tell you, between Erin and Richard describing it and whatever,
cheese fries.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Isn't it like cheese?
And it says French fries topped with a light brown gravy. Like,
yeah. Oh, I enjoy cheese. Gravy.
Yeah, I want poutine.
My mouth is watering. Except Richard, I think, wants to put tomatoes.
I
on
feel
the poutine,
like,
and that makes me want to.
Sounds good, Richard. I'll take it with tomatoes.
We can do half and half.
I'll
half
pick
with,
the tomatoes
half
up. I'm good.
I may have to go to Five and Dinner because I think brown gravy sounds good right now.
There you go.
Anything. I want a snack.
Oh.
I'm halfway through cooking dinner.
Are we done with thoughtful vulgarity?
Yes, that was it. Oh, that was a lot of fun. Thank you for the book. That was
good. Good. Good.
Oh,
we
my God.
Find out from the panel, whatever. I love it the when panel, the panel...
Michael is somewhere in the house.
But I'm saying, like, when folks are on here, they should be like, these are our things. Yeah. I love that.
We'd like to thank you all for listening and viewing and joining us for tonight's show. We have, we've enjoyed being with you, and thank you for chiming in. We are, we're done. It's a Tuesday night. We're here again next Tuesday, 7 to 10 Arizona time. Please join us on Facebook in the chat room. So many ways to connect with us. If you know our personal numbers, just text us and say hello.
That would be lovely.
We'll see you next Tuesday with another installment of the show on Q-Talk America, but we will leave you with this final thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.